This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
PFW in progress here on a Wednesday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale. Andy will be with us briefly, Andy. You're going to hang out with us for a little while.
And I'm going to turn my mic on now and say, yes, briefly.
Okay.
A little bit, and then I got, as Fred Kirsch would say, I got a thing.
Very, very busy day here in Foxborough.
I got a thing. Don't you worry about it, as Tom Casale would say.
You got a thing.
Well, Tom, Andy, and I just left the Patriots locker room.
Tom, you talked to Ray Mickens. What's going on in there?
Yeah, Gary was very, actually in the locker room, too. Made a locker room appearance.
What were you doing there, Gary? Finding out some musical thing for the players?
No, I was trying to get one of the players to record something for me.
Welcome to San Diego for the divisional playoff game. I'm Larry Izzo.
Wait. I need to do that again.
Who'd you get?
No one.
What do you mean, no one? Tully Manicane was
in
there.
Trying to get someone good.
Wow, sorry, Tully. Sorry, Tully. Gary Gudecki, apparently you're not good enough for him. Two sacks in a playoff game, you'd think that'd get you something. You might be able to say hello to a marketing guest in a hotel, but nope.
No.
Roosevelt Colvin, Artrell Hawkins. Who cares? They're paying $8,000 for nothing.
That's true.
Who cares who greets them?
That's true.
If I'm paying $8,000, I'd rather hear from Richard Seymour than Tully Manicane.
If I was paying $8,000, I'd be smart enough to realize, hey, this is a recorded message that they do every week before one of these games.
Right, they can stay home and call Richard Seymour's voicemail for free.
What's worse is talking about it. Next topic.
You're just mad that one of your marketing bosses might call down and say, what are you guys talking about down there, telling people not to buy trips?
Trust me, the marketing bosses do not listen to PFW in progress.
Well, that's their loss then. Maybe they know something about the team.
I was going to say, that's why they're so uninformed. Anyway,
I agree.
Here's a question. If we'll change the topic to Gary's liking. What do you think was the ratio of players to reporters today?
100 to 1.
Be the way around. Players to reporters. 1 to 100.
Not quite 100 to 1, but 25 to 1 maybe, something like that. 30 to 1.
Close. It was packed. I mean, you couldn't
move.
And
some of the players are... Like, Mel Mitchell was in there. He's not really a player anymore.
Right.
Ray Mickens. I mean, to starters, you might be at 100 to 1.
Some of the players drawing large media crowds today.
Sean Boobin.
Tully Manticane.
Ray
Andy
Mickens.
Hart, Ray Mickens. Teddy Bruschi.
Asante Samuel, wasn't he there?
Artrell Hawkins.
Daniel Graham.
Roosevelt Colvin, Daniel Graham.
Samuel was the one they got by the door.
So, way down by Bruschi's locker? Oh, so I thought that was Bruschi.
No,
that was Samuel?
Jackie McMullen was talking to Samuel probably for
again?
A rebuttal to the story she wrote, and then the cameras swarmed.
Yeah, well, I wanted to get into some of those things here, and obviously we have, everything's on the table today. We're in the divisional playoff round. It gets serious now, Andy. Yesterday was just kind of screwing around a little bit. This is serious business now.
I wasn't down here yet.
Divisional playoffs. I know. That's why I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. So I should leave if this is going to be serious. Serious, not my best.
That's
skill.
True. As one of our emailers will get to in a moment. But webradio@patriots.com if you want to join
Loser.
Us. Webradio@patriots.com if you want to give us a call. As I think it was Wayne yesterday called Tom up.
Huizenga?
No, Wayne. Yeah, well, it could have been.
It was Wayne in Jacksonville?
He was in Florida. Yeah. Different part of Florida.
I'm thinking about calling Wayne Huizenga and snooping around for a job. Apparently that guy will hire anybody
right.
who's looking.
And apparently he'll just take on suggestions from absolutely
right.
anybody. So maybe it was him calling our show. So,
I'm going to call him and say, I've learned under Fred Kirsch and I can make your website the best in the league.
Or at least I'll tell everyone that.
So if you want to give us a call, let me get the number out there before you guys continue.
508. Serious Football Wednesday.
508-543-7482. Again, 508-543-7482. Chargers heading out to San Diego on Friday. This is, you know, I'm listening to Bill again today. The best, without question, how did he put it?
He made a bad statement, though.
The best,
he called
the best team in football, but did he say without question?
Without question, the best team in football. So now he's backed himself into a corner, because if they win...
Well, all they'll say next week is, you know, they already beat earlier this year the best team in football because the Ravens beat the Chargers. That'll be his out.
No, but I can say since you've already beaten the best team in football, is this kind of a letdown this week?
But this is a team that beat the best team in football before they beat the best team in
football.
But
what if it's the Colts? Yeah.
Well, then, we couldn't even stay competitive when we played them here.
we're
on their turf.
We're just so hoping to stay within two touchdowns.
Right.
How funny would it be if Bill said that, and Tom had that question, you know, well, a letdown, and Bill said, well, you know, upsets happen. In other words, well, we're clearly better, but.
Well, if he tried to ask the question, Mike Reese might stop him and say, Bill, you don't have to answer that.
You don't have
it's above you.
You don't have to get into that, okay? We can leave that part out of it.
What part?
The whole disappointment.
Oh.
We don't need your inadequacies.
That expletive's over there laughing. Go ahead. Proceed. It's Serious Wednesday.
It's not Serious Wednesday. I'm saying
you said.
The divisional round is time to get serious. That's all I'm saying.
I agree, because we got rid of some of the crap teams
yes.
that were playoff pretenders
that
over
was my point.
The first wild card weekend when I'm watching a Cowboys game that all I see is field goals and bad play, Chiefs and Colts trying to lose it rather than trying to win it on both sides of the ball. I agree with you. Good teams left.
Right. And we were talking yesterday, Tom and I, 1, 2, 3, and 4 in both conferences, you know, even though the NFC is not as strong as the AFC, this is perfect. This is what Roger Goodell could not have asked for a better first year for the playoffs. Those top four in the AFC, I think any one of them could make the claim to be the best team in football.
I agree. Now in the NFC, before we start, and not to take away from tomorrow's picks, who moves on?
In the NFC?
NFC, real quick.
I haven't.
Just reaction.
I like the home teams, Chicago and New Orleans.
Okay.
Chicago I like overwhelmingly.
You can make your real pick tomorrow. Just reaction right now if I made you pick them.
I'm definitely going to pick Chicago to win. A high point spread there.
I like them overwhelmingly.
And the Saints-Eagles to me is the toughest game to call this weekend because I like the Saints at home. But I'm afraid this is the play. You know, like when a guy who we all know is good but doesn't get quite the credit he deserves yet, I got a feeling this could be the playoffs where Brian Westbrook turns into that guy.
Right.
Because I know the Giants didn't do it for the first few years, but I feel he can be like Tiki Barber. I think he can carry the football, and I think he's starting to do that now, and I'm worried about that Saints rush defense. But if I had to go right now, I'd probably go with Paul and say the two home teams.
Okay. Now it's Patriots Wednesday.
And you.
And me.
You don't just throw a question
I
out
really
there and not opine on it.
I think the Saints will win. The other game, I don't love. I don't think the Bears are playing well. I don't think the Seahawks are playing well. I have my doubts about that game. I think that game could be sort of like a wild card weekend game where I'm not. One team will obviously win it, but I don't think I'm going to be impressed with either team and how they win it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I agree a lot with what Tom just said about the Eagles and about Westbrook.
What about Lito Shepard?
That's
going
the
against an offense that throws for 500 yards.
I was
going to
take the Eagles for sure, but when our boy, I think it was Pete, our Paisano there who likes Lito Shepard.
PJ Nacarelli.
When his boy went down there, now that's really changing the way I'm looking at the game.
So that'll be interesting to see how they overcome that. But I really, really like Chicago. I think, I think the Bears are going to lay a whooping on Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle sucks.
Be interesting to see how that offense plays.
One thing that might affect the Patriots, I don't want to throw rumors out there, but Coughlin signs to a one-year extension. Now, I think it would have been better for Patriot fans if they just got a new coach. Because there's been, we don't know for exact, but there's been reports that maybe Bill signed through next season, blah, blah, blah. And if Coughlin struggles again next year, we're going to be back in the same boat unless Bill signs a long-term contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, and I think it makes a lot of sense. And matter of fact, it's exactly when I talked to you guys on Monday, I got a call from a guy in New York. That's exactly what he said is what happened just now is exactly what he said was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're going to stick with Coughlin for a year because they don't think they can get the quote guy that they want right now.
Right.
And they see no reason to hire a new coach and then be stuck with him 1 year into it, and then all of a sudden you get a guy like Cowher or Belichick or someone
right.
like that pops available, maybe even Charlie Weiss.
And I'll tell you, that's not good if you're a Giants fan, because now you're basically watching a team with a sitting duck head coach, and I think the players probably know it.
And you're wasting a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like a no-win situation. What if he does well?
Right, and then Belichick is available, and you want Belichick, and it's risky.
So it'll be very interesting to see how that unfolds. But that is the breaking news right now on ESPN News. Tom Coughlin, one-year extension, will remain with the Giants. So, you know, perhaps that had something to do with the personal reasons why Scott Pioli made that statement on Monday
mm-hmm.
as to why, you know, he decided to continue with his role with the Patriots. So he will be here, and Bill will be here, as far as we know.
Andy, you know what I figured out in the press conference? I realized Belichick doesn't like Pete Carroll.
Why?
Because I was always trying to figure out why he has to throw Matt Castle's name in every... I think he's saying, like, well, you know, Matt Castle was good and Pete Carroll. I think that's a little shot on. Because whenever anybody mentions USC or their quarterbacks, he always specifically has to mention Matt Castle.
We like
and I think it's just a little poke at, hey, you know what? You can talk about Pete Carroll all you want in the college game, but he ain't that great. He just got a lot of talent.
Oh, I could see why.
Was there something today that I missed?
No, my mind just started drifting when he was talking about nothing, and that's what I thought of.
I could see why Bill would dislike Carroll, because they're just
polar
so
opposites. Yeah, that's what I was
and
thinking.
Carroll's like everything that Bill hates in terms of
that's my
all
feeling
of it,
is he doesn't believe that Carroll's a good coach because
right.
of the way he goes about things.
Right, I could see that.
How about the Keenan McCardle reference today?
Are you serious? Oh, that was a different reference.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And he wasn't asking the guy, are you serious that they're selling tickets?
No, he was asking
him,
are you serious with that question?
He was serious with that question.
That's a dumbass question.
And he follows it up and says, yeah, no, they're seriously doing
it. I take
it
that was a new guy who...
it was like a TV
guy,
I think.
From Providence.
I'm not in a ticket meeting.
Who, by the way, forget it. Let's move on.
All right, so... Obviously, we're going to break down we're going to get into the Chargers matchup here, and Bill gave a lot of reasons to sort of be concerned about what San Diego does on both sides of the ball.
The boys coming over to my side now.
And I know he always does. I know he always gives a lot of reasons. One thing was a red flag here for Chargers fans today. The Chargers defensively, Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator, they do what they do, and they do it well.
Right.
That's a red flag if you're a team, an opposing team playing the Patriots. Generally, the Patriots find a way to beat those teams.
Said the same thing about the Packers and the Vikings.
Brian Morey, famous PFW alum, accurately pointed out, however, that we used to say the same thing about Miami.
Because if there was I don't know.
Every time that they played Miami, Bill would say they played two coverages, man and man. They do what they do, and they do it very well.
But he didn't mention
Miami,
zone.
And Miami killed the Patriots down in Miami a couple of times in a row by playing the cover two with man press coverage on the corners. So,
but he didn't mention zone. That's the thing. Like if they do what they do and a lot of it's zone, then they're in trouble because Brady will pick apart zones, and you have to play more. That's why I still think the Ravens are going to be the tougher matchup if they can get by here, because the Ravens will man you up in your face. They'll say, yeah, go ahead, Gaffney, try to get open. And then they'll just send pressure. I think that's the way you got to play them. I wasn't sure how the Chargers played in the secondary, but from what I'm hearing from Charger people and from Bill now is that they do play a lot of zone.
Right.
So that means Brady's going to negate Merriman because he's going to throw those 3-yard, 4-yard outs all day.
The only thing I'll say is that they're talented.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's
one key difference between most of the other teams we've seen say, well, we do what we do.
Yeah.
The Chargers are more talented. So if they do what they do, there's still a chance they have success with it and win one-on-one battles.
Never been a huge Wade Phillips fan for some reason. That makes me nervous. I totally forgot he was the defensive coordinator there until mentioned it today. Makes me a little nervous. I like Cam Cameron.
Makes me nervous. You wrote the preview. You didn't know who their defensive coordinator
was. Well, I knew who he was. I mean, I'm saying this week I wasn't thinking of it. I like the offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, because I think he's aggressive and he won't just go up and run the ball up the middle like Herm Edwards and the Chiefs did.
Is his name Cameron Cameron?
I don't know.
I would assume.
Yeah. He's always gone by
Cam. Oh, sorry. This is Serious Wednesday. Not allowed to talk about stuff like that.
I told you it's not Serious Wednesday. You want to get to that? We can get. You want to get very unserious in a hurry?
No.
Yeah, come on. Let's get unserious. Philip. Philip sends in an email from Nova Scotia. Not Phil from Austin. Different Phil. He says, PFW in progress, Gilligan's Island cast. Now, this is, Andy, this is right up your alley. This is nonsense at its best.
I enjoy these sort of things. Yes, that's true.
First of all, I'd like to begin by saying I think the Patriots will win this weekend, but if, God forbid, they don't, I have a few things to say before the show ends for the season. Thank you for doing such an entertaining but also educational show. What makes your show so good is the chemistry that you guys create when you are together, much like chemistry created between that cast members of that classic sitcom, Gilligan's Island. If I were to cast that show with the cast of PFW, this is how it would be. Andy Hart is Gilligan. Well, I don't think there's any question about
clearly
that.
Clearly, I'm the focal point. They named the show after me.
That's typecasting right there. Young, hapless, and naive. With an emphasis on hapless.
But again, the star of the show and the show's named after him.
Being correct and or funny is usually accidental.
Hey.
Craves the attention of the skipper and has a not-so-well-disguised band crush on him. Obtains said attention by getting himself and the skipper into all kinds of trouble.
I don't think I like where this is all going.
Tom.
I liked it when the show was just named after me.
Tom is the skipper. He is both annoyed and yet strangely entertained by Gilligan. He enjoys yelling at, insulting, and occasionally hitting/biting people. But he most likes to spend his time relaxing in his hammock when not being Mrs. Howell's personal trainer. Very good.
Yeah, that was good.
Paul is the fair-skinned professor. Evidently, I need to hit a tanning bed. The consummate professional, always working hard and spending long hours in his lab, trying to create the perfect machines to make life easier for the other castaways. If ever rescued, he hopes to one day market the bamboo coconut ultimate suction vacuum cleaner. He also harbors a deep-seated hatred of the skipper and Gilligan and their childish antics.
Well, a lot of that's true, except, Phil, you clearly don't know Paul. One of the aspects of Paul's whole persona is he shows up to work late, often leaves in the middle of the day, and so that endless hours in his lab,
often leaves in the middle of the day, isn't he? Often? Well, once a week. Once a week. That's not often.
That's often. Once a week? That's got to be often.
Coming from the guy who's leaving in 10 minutes.
Right. Because he has to go see his contractor.
What role does Gary play on this show?
Well, we're getting to that. Fred is Mr. Howell.
Coconut?
Want to make $5 the hard way?
He's clearly got the rich part.
Mistakenly believes that he is the man in charge. He has never met an argument he could not torture to death with his spitting, sputtering, rumbling, bumbling, incoherent, senile ramblings. Mr. Wilson, whom he found washed up on the beach, is the only one that truly understands him. He may also be slowly poisoning all of the other castaways.
Who's Mr. Wilson?
That's
the ball. Is that from Castaway?
Yeah, the ball. Yeah. And you know what's
little
funny
crossover
is...
reference.
That's Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
That's the voice of Mr. Magoo, who's kind of like Fred, too.
Absolutely.
Like senile, old. That's pretty funny.
John Rook. John represents the headhunters that show up every few shows who are always somehow defeated by Gilligan, often seen quickly paddling away from the island with a grass skirt on fire.
Now, in my defense, there are no more guys left in the cast, so...
No, let's just let the email go as it may.
Gary and Lori represent the women of the island who are there to look pretty, keep quiet, and take care of the housekeeping. Just having a little fun, guys. Hope to hear you next week. All the best. And Phil, just so you know, we will definitely be here next week in some capacity.
Yeah, let me know when Gary looks pretty.
It may be on Wednesday.
Gary doesn't look pretty.
But even if they lose, we continue our Wednesday shows.
But he is here to feed us and clean things and take care of us.
So that was pretty good.
So which one is which?
Laura would be Ginger.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. She's Ginger, you're Marianne.
But I got a new soundbite for whenever you say something stupid.
What'd I say? Screw you. I still say, it's Gilligan's Island. Everyone else is just living on it. It's my show. Everyone else is just showing up to talk every once in a while. And I'm just going to be the co-host here since Paul has like a full slice of pizza in his mouth right now. Was that one bite, that entire slice? You looked like a chipmunk over there. You had like pizza in both cheeks.
Because I have a hard time biting in the front with my false tooth.
You're so old, you have false teeth?
I've had a false tooth since I was 8.
They're wooden.
You've had a false tooth for 55 years? You missed, though.
And there again is Skipper, oddly amused by Gilligan's
just
antics.
If we're going to be on this little fun for the first 15 minutes part of the show, or 25.
I was going to say, we're gonna hit more to the two-hour mark.
You missed a little shot I took at you on the TV show last night, you know.
This is a surprise.
While you were making fun of Chris Collins' tie, it was right after Fred had said...
The
1963 or 60 game, and Fred goes, I was only 4 at the time. I go, but Paul was there. And apparently, for the first time ever, they did a good job with the camera work, and when I said it, I'm right on camera and have like a dumb smirk on my face as I point to you.
Well, he wasn't doing...
Right.
Well, you never know when you're on camera on that show. I caught him staring down at his hands at one point.
I do that all the time. I'm always picking my cuticles and stuff.
Yeah, that's well, that could explain the 12 viewers.
Absolutely, if we're not interested.
You subtract
Tom, me, and it's 11. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say subtract Tom, Gary, right. Fred, mine, which tapes automatically. I haven't watched it yet. Down to no viewers. Good, great, grand. Doesn't say in his bio whether his first name is Cameron or not. Because why would you name your son Cameron?
It's probably Cam.
There's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah, and their parents are called idiots.
I agree. What are you going
to
do?
Remember the guy from Dwayne?
Yeah.
The basketball player.
And there was an Eddie Edwards that played defensive line for the Bengals back in like, the 80s.
That?
I don't know.
It's but could terrible. You imagine Dwayne?
No. But they're all bad.
Evidently, they didn't know any other names.
Well, I just
Andy.
And his wife is Missy.
And Andy.
Put your hands together on center stage for Missy.
Missy? I don't know.
I've heard Missy's.
It's Misty.
It's not quite a Mika like you like.
No. Where are you going? Oh, he's putting the media guy back. All right. Tom, what is your gut feeling on Rodney Harrison? That's an element of this game that we'll find out about a little bit better in about 4 hours.
I think it'll be a game time decision. I think he'll travel.
Thanks, Bill.
No, do you think he'll travel?
No, I think he may travel.
I think he travels either way.
I think if he travels, he plays.
But I think he has to warm up and see how it's, you know, kind of the same thing like Dyson, except Bill won't make the same mistake the Jets did and play him if he can't play.
I think Rodney travels either way. I think as a captain returning to San Diego, I think he will be there no matter what.
That's true. I
think he'll be a motivational guy.
I agree with you guys. He will travel because it's a playoff game. It's different. You're right.
What about Seau? Will he be there? Is he there? Has he been around here? Where's Seau been?
What's the record for consecutive questions in a 5-second span?
Well, I was thinking, and I'm like, I don't know where Junior Seau's been. Maybe he's been here. Maybe he's been there.
I think he's in California.
So he might be there. Boy, a lot of Marty Schottenheimer fans will be on the Patriots sideline.
Yeah. Oh, Marty, won't be seeing him no more.
He'll be under heavy fire if he loses this game. Heavy fire.
Well, he might be fired.
That's,
if he loses this game.
That's the word out of San Diego, is that if he loses this game, he's out, which I think is a little extreme.
I got to tell you, that GM, whether you like him or hate him, he's got big stones. He's willing to go a total different direction with a quarterback, willing to fire a coach.
My only argument is that would drop him to 5-13, and what's the sense of having a good team if you're not going to win when it counts?
Well,
that would be my only
argument. I do agree with that argument. I think that's a strong one, Tom. But the other part of that is, did anybody really expect San Diego and you two – you two specifically better not answer yes.
I thought they'd be 14-2. I picked them to win the division. It's in the paper. We can, when we go back and do our things,
right,
you'll see it.
Then you,
I was just joking.
I didn't pick.
We had about a 45-minute argument one day in my office where you just picked something exactly the opposite of what you argue with me about. Then, so I, whatever.
No, but you're talking about something that happened in June, and then
it wasn't in June.
I was on board.
I was
with
told
San
how
Diego.
Bad the AFC West was.
Yeah,
this
by
is,
me.
This was an argument.
It was by me,
and that there was, and
just so
there
you
was
know,
no
I,
way that, that Denver could lose to any of those stiff teams in the AFC West.
I was down
and
on
I
the Chargers,
my
and
mind.
I remember it.
Oh, I
was down
I
on
totally
the Chargers
the
because I thought the coach,
to be
quarterback,
honest with
GM
you,
triangle was going
to be
ruin
honest with
the
you.
Team.
I let you two guys sway me. I thought you guys made more good points in the argument than I did, and
that's
I thought
how
I,
all
I,
arguments
and I thought
go
I was wrong.
Here.
I said, and I actually said, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overrating them.
Ah, now I know it's a figment of your imagination. You've never said you were wrong.
I just said I was wrong about Rodney Harrison, not 30 seconds ago. I think you guys convinced me that he will travel, whether he plays or not.
Oh, well, you convinced me
it's
the other way.
A little trend you got going here.
I don't think he's going to play.
You convinced me the other way because you
either.
Said, if well, look at San Diego. Philip Rivers is just halfway decent. Look at the talent they have. Then I was thinking, he's kind of right. If Philip Rivers can play at all, they got a pretty good team.
We got a love fest on here where everybody else is agreeing with the other person's points.
Well, I ended
and
up...
Andy,
I
he's
ended,
just being a ridiculous moron.
I thought two of us picked San Diego to win the division. I did, and I thought somebody else did.
I don't think I was the other one.
I don't think I was the other one. I certainly didn't expect them to be this good.
Gary!
I thought they would be pretty good, but not this good. Anyway, that was the argument, I would say, for Marty sticking around. Is
I'm
that
not saying
it's,
he should be
it's
quiet,
a very young. It's a very young
is.
Team. You know, and I think Bill was right about that today. The core of their talent is pretty young.
Right.
But what if they want the offensive coordinator to be the coach and they don't want to lose him because they know someone else is coming? And
that
they say, what if we, what's the sense of sticking with Marty for one more year? He's older.
If they lose this game, if the Chargers, that the Patriots go out there and beat them, then I think that A.J. Smith is going to get his way, and Marty's going to be gone. And it'll probably be for your reason, Tom. I mean, you can't ignore 5-13. You can't just.
Still a dangerous game to
you
play.
You can't just sweep that under the rug.
There's a lot of teams that would kill to be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a ballsy decision. It's, you know, we've seen it, the Carson Palmer decision or the Jay Cutler decision to go with a quarterback that you think takes your franchise to the next level when you have a guy who's at least competitive getting you to the playoffs. It's the same kind of thing with the head coach. Has complacency set in? Have you gone as far as you can with him? But you know, you can go the other way. You can bring in Tom Coughlin and he
no
loses
question.
The troops.
But if they're already saying that in San Diego, that's why I brought up the Cam Cameron thing, because
right.
It must be they already have someone in mind who they don't want to lose probably, and
could
it was
be.
Probably him because he's going to be a hot coaching prospect.
And it doesn't make any sense to make that known either, because
no,
all that does is jack up the pressure on a guy who already has the reputation of not being able to handle the pressure all that well. So,
although that Cam Cameron
so now,
theory, I've seen that go south before. Isn't that how we got Butch Hobson as the manager of the Red Sox?
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to hire him before anybody else hired him for their job.
Yeah, because they were beating down his
door. But what if he beats the Patriots and loses to either the Ravens or the Colts? Is it still the same?
Well, the reports I've heard out of there, if he doesn't go to a Super Bowl, he could be out.
And so, I'll say it again. If he goes to the Super Bowl, I mean, I don't get the part of going. I get the part about winning.
Yeah.
I mean, because if he loses to an inferior NFC team, then in my opinion, that's worse than
losing
to the Patriots or the Ravens.
But it would be him getting past that demon, in theory.
All right, but
right?
They would also be a 10-point favorite, probably, against somebody.
No question.
Well, I think it's weird. I think if they lose the first game, then you can sit there and point to saying, well, this guy, I mean, it's flat out, he gets tight in big games. But if they were to win a game and then lose a tough game to the Colts or the Ravens, I don't know. Did he choke? He didn't choke last week, but he choked this week.
Even in the Patriots game, like,
let's
you
see
have
how
to,
they win.
Right. Like, if Rivers just plays bad and they open it up and Rivers can't get it done, how's that Marty's fault?
Right.
You know?
Well, that's another reason.
If they're just running Lorenzo Neal up the middle, then we can say, hey, you know, this guy's got to go.
They go up 7-0 and Lorenzo Neal gets 40 carries.
You know, they decide, let's use LT as a decoy and go with Michael Turner.
Right.
He averages almost a yard more per carry.
According to
Bill. That's what Bill said.
But no, I think you're right, Tom, because it kind of closes you, locks you into a corner, and if you just say, well, if they win, they do. Well, what if he plays ultra conservative, but they end up winning?
Right.
You know, like what's that Jets game, the last playoff game that he was in 2 years ago, was ridiculously conservative.
And they should have won.
And they still should have won the game. They have a good kicker who missed a kick.
Right.
You know, I know he was only a rookie at the time, but it wasn't a bomb. It was only like a 40-yarder, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more often than not, 40, 41 yarders in the pros, you're going to make those.
Yeah, and Andy, I'm not laughing at Bill anymore for what he says, because we joked about him in the holder for 2 months,
and then
we saw our team in the playoffs lose a game, actually back-to-back. You saw a team not get in the playoffs because they couldn't hold, and a team lose a game in the playoffs because they couldn't hold. So once again,
Bill's right.
Bill's right.
I've never seen anything like the Romo play. Like even the Cincinnati one, I think that was a snap.
Well, the worst part about the Romo play is he doesn't lose it on the
catch.
He
caught it.
He loses it trying to set
it down. Trying
to
put it down. It was,
that's even more remarkable.
And they talk about those K-balls as being a little bit slicker.
Apparently it was a KY ball.
Yeah. And once again, you just know Gilligan's going to take it there. But anyway.
KY jelly is okay to talk about.
I didn't say anything it was not okay to talk about.
I thought you were saying it was inappropriate.
No, it's just, you know, the obvious joke that needs to be inserted will always be inserted by Gilligan.
And it needs to be inserted. That's why it's a comedy. Just because you see the joke coming, sometimes it's even funnier.
But they were talking about how those balls are a lot slicker than the other ones, and you could almost see it.
Yeah, you can.
You could almost, they almost look shiny and slick. I'll tell you, there's a lot of ways to lose games. And being a huge Drew Bledsoe fan, I've experienced a lot of those ways to lose games. I've never seen a game where a guy just drops a snap like that. Perfect snap. Caught. I mean, if it went through his hands, well, what are you going to do? He choked. It went through his hands. But he caught it and somehow lost it from catching it to putting it down.
It was amazing.
Never seen anything like it. And then he gets tackled from behind by, a yard short of a first down.
Maybe. Pretty close.
Well, he was short of the first down.
You've seen Drew lose a lot of games a lot of ways?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can I go with the obvious one here? I thought he just lost him by hitting corners in stride on the way to the end zone.
No, I haven't seen him lose a lot that way, to be honest with you. One would be in Seattle, however, last year.
Yep. Okay, we're going to get to the Patriots?
We can get to the Patriots. Here's a question for you. Here's a college question for Tom. I'll throw it out for Tom. It's from Aaron in Newton, Mass. B. Newton. I have a question. Why don't NFL teams run the option?
Oh, boy.
It can't be done.
Well, why don't you explain to Aaron why?
Well, there's a reason. Let me explain to you why college teams don't run it. Because you can't run option full-time anymore, because basically what Jimmy Johnson did, and Bill has alluded to this, he kind of changed defense in college football by making linebackers, defensive linemen, defensive backs, linebackers, and they got so fast that's why you don't see the Oklahomas and the Nebraskas and teams like that run it. So if you can't run it at that level, imagine how hard it is to do here. I mean, just imagine trying to run the option with Sean Merriman bearing down on Michael Vick. First of all, you need 7 quarterbacks because Vick will be out in 2 weeks. The balls will be all over the place. The pitches will be all over the place. It can't be done.
Too much speed, too much athleticism.
You've got to remember, when you're in college, you're playing teams like Boston College, where a lot of those people are doctors and lawyers in a few years.
Right.
In the NFL, they're football players. That's it.
And you're playing a team that has Jason Taylor at defensive end with 8-foot arms, and he runs a 4.7 40. Then you have a linebacker scraping over the top who's running a 4. You just have too much athleticism, too much speed. The quarterback could make the right read, and the play still could go for a 3-yard loss.
Right. And you don't have, as Tom said, you don't have the amount of depth in the NFL level. First of all, you play 16 games with 3 quarterbacks on your roster as opposed to maybe 11-game regular season plus a bowl game with 4 or 5 guys that are, you know, if you're running an option offense and you know, back in those,
they always had 3 guys.
In the 70s or 80s, you had 3 or 4 guys that were of similar athletic ability that could have done it. There's no way you could do
basically
it.
Basically, Oklahoma, back in those days with Jamal Holloway, they had borderline running backs at quarterback who used to stop and throw deep every now and again. Even a running back can throw the ball up in the air. That's what their offense was.
It's funny that you bring that up, because the rest of Aaron's email here is he has a feeling that the Patriots will get burned by LT throwing the ball. Plus, he wants to know how good we think the San Diego special teams are.
Special teams, very good. Kasim Osgood went to the Pro Bowl. Kading has been phenomenal. Their punter's pretty solid.
Yep. Shiffris?
Cyphers. So when I was doing the preview, I noticed that the special teams is pretty good. I was going to ask Bill about that, but
Bill called them for the 11th consecutive week, we're facing the best kickoff return unit in football.
No, I mean the LT.
Is that just me?
The LT thing. But I didn't want to get into a whole LT line of questioning. I wonder how you defend that, because you got to figure as soon as he gets the ball, you're going at him because he's right. in the whole game plan is to stop LT. So I'm wondering if it's a run pass option where he gets a pitch and someone goes out and maybe he's done it before where he's just run it.
Right.
When the guy's covered, because it seems like he starts to run, then he sees the guy and he just tosses it.
I would assume there's it's fundamentals, keys, keying on the receiver, keying on the offensive lineman, whether they're going to blocking downfield or not, because they can't fire out and block downfield. Yeah. If he's going to throw the ball, you have illegal men downfield. So I think there's some fundamental keys that would be telltale signs, but it's a lot harder to talk about that than it is to do it when, for the first 22 times of the game, LaDainian Tomlinson was going around the edge, and you're thinking, I got to stop him for a 3-yard gain. Now all of a sudden you're a step too far up, and all it takes on those plays is a step or two, and the receiver's by you. And it's a big play.
You got to give credit to Cameron there because they know exactly when to run it. I never seen a guy who wasn't wide open when Tomlinson throws the football.
And obviously he's pretty smart about it. He doesn't fall. You know, a lot of times when you run those trick plays, the guys that get a chance to do it, they throw it no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, they get a chance to do it. They don't want to waste it and just take a sack or just run and get whatever you can. They always try to force it, but he doesn't seem to do that. Obviously, like Tom says, it doesn't seem like he's had to do that.
Right.
Very often. And you weren't here yesterday. Tom and I kind of, we didn't start it, but we perpetuated a little rivalry between Sawyer and Waterloo,
yes.
Iowa.
Yep.
And who was the other one?
Shannon. By the way, Shannon, the thing that was forwarded to me was funny. I like the part where they said he can write his name. Shannon sent me a comical thing about recruits coming out, and there was things like he can write his own name and things like that. Like, you know how they dissect everything a person can do. It was pretty funny. But Sawyer took a shot at Shannon yesterday, and then Shannon came back guns blazing.
Nice.
Oh. And now, so now Sawyer is trying.
Well, I don't know if this is necessarily a rebuttal to any of that, but this is from Sawyer, and I think he might be more back on.
So Shannon
Patriots.
Used my theory. Let the other person throw the first little jab and then end the fight.
No, Shannon actually started it.
Oh, so Sawyer used my theory. End the fight.
I find it hard to believe that so many people are picking the Patriots. I guess I am still leery about the Patriots after the way the season has gone and what I have heard about the Chargers in the highlights of LT. I hope I am proving wrong this weekend, but I think it could be a long flight home for you guys.
Well, it's going to be long no matter what.
It's all about perspective. It is doubtful, but if Rodney is back, would you put him up on the line often to blitz? He wants to get after Rivers, try to get in his head, knowing that Rodney is a big hitter. Even if he gets a roughing the passer penalty, wouldn't it be worth it to rattle Rivers and get him off his game a little bit?
Well,
is there
my
some
Jim McMahon theory?
I was going to say, then why don't we just activate Marquise Hill and tell him hurt Rivers?
I don't know why they don't do that more often. I applauded John Chaney at Temple when he did that.
Is there somebody else that could do this effectively if Rodney does not play, or am I an idiot and is this a stupid idea?
Well, I don't know if I'd end the email like that with
Well, it's not over yet.
Oh, I was going to say, well, with Shannon sitting there, you asking if you're an idiot.
I'll actually see my first game in HD this week. I don't know if you want to include that with Shannon's email either. Shannon kind of took some shots about Waterloo, Iowa.
This stuff just writing itself, yeah.
Since I will have to go to a friend's house to watch the game, since Media.com, my cable provider and the CBS affiliate, never came to an agreement and they pulled CBS off the air last Friday. What a freaking joke.
You don't
joke.
Get CBS?
Oh, God.
I mean, it's one thing to not get the NFL Network, but you don't get CBS?
Well,
this is
going to
put
Sawyer
on the Tonight Show.
Sawyer, I apologize for providing plenty of fodder there for the next one, but... Sorry, guy. I just read the email.
CBS, is that even legal?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I got CBS when I was a little kid living in the country.
If you don't have cable, you have CBS.
Yeah,
right. As far as there's no one on the roster that plays like Rodney Harrison at that position. Now, could you do it on a, you know, send Artrell Hawkins or send a corner off the edge, send Sanders? Yeah, you can do it. But no one is as good at it, as accomplished at it as Rodney. If Rodney is in there, and he's healthy, and if he's in there, I assume he's healthy. Yeah, I'd like to see him doing that.
And Andy, you bring up a good point that I don't think some of our listeners may be aware of. And I'm not picking on him because he's my whipping boy. But when you watch Roy Williams blitz, he doesn't do it well.
Right.
Rodney Harrison is a very effective blitzer. There's a skill to that, I think, if you're a defensive back. Like Rod Woodson was a very good blitzer for a defensive back. And I don't know whether it's timing or just the feel for it, but some guys are good at it and some guys aren't. Harrison's one of the best.
And I'll say, I don't think it's just defensive backs. I think it's everybody. When you're blitzing, when you're pass rushing, I think there's a tremendous feel for it, just like there's a feel on the other side for the quarterback to feel the pressure, step right. up, slide right. I mean, I think we made fun of Vilma, sort of, for getting there and not being able to make a play. I think you see that a lot. I've made fun of Telly Bantakane over years for being able to get there a number of times, but essentially just running by the quarterback. And I think a lot of guys fall into that trap. On the other side, Kerry Rhodes seems like a guy who has a knack for getting there and taking advantage of the three or four times he gets there.
That's funny you just mentioned Kerry Rhodes. I was going to say that I felt like he's a mini Rodney.
He's tremendous. Tremendous young player.
I think that we talk about Rodney has that, sacks and interceptions thing. I think Kerry Rhodes is a guy, if he stays healthy and can play 10 or 12 years, might be a guy approaching those kinds of numbers because I think he has that kind of versatility.
Yeah, and if any of you Patriots fans know, Jet fans out there, I would stay away from talking about Rhodes because he's a good player. If you want to get to him, tell him that Jonathan Vilma is overrated.
Yeah, Tom was very down on Vilma, and he did not play very well on Sunday.
Sunday. Since I've been here, I just haven't really noticed him. You know, like when we watch the Bears play, you see Urlacher all over the place, and I just feel like Vilma, the four games I've seen, I just kind of haven't really noticed him that much. He had the two tackles at the goal line there before the pass to Graham, but
actually, on one of those, it was a great play by him, but I still say he hit Maroney, and had there not been a pile of a Patriot and Jet offensive lineman on the ground, I think Maroney bounces off the hit and scores. His legs got taken out from under him while Vilma was hitting him, so I actually thought he would have scored if it hadn't been for the pile that was there.
It'd be interesting to see how he plays in the future.
All right, Dave is in Cambridge, Mass. He has a question about Pioli.
You can answer this.
He'd like your take. I'm the host today. You guys are the talent. I'd like to take your take on the statement made by Scott Pioli concerning interviewing for the Giants GM position. The guys on Sirius NFL Radio say that what he's saying is, quote, "I'm not interested in the position right now, but I'm all yours once the playoffs are over."
Paul,
that's what
serious?
Paul said.
Do you think they're reading more into it than is really there?
Or no, I think they watch Fox Sports New England.
Do you think
Paul
they
Perillo.
Have a point? I know Belichick was upset with Charlie Weiss when he was running back and forth to Notre Dame during the playoffs 2 years ago. Maybe Belichick did ask Pioli to wait until after the playoffs to pursue the job in New York. What do you guys think?
I never knew that Belichick was upset about
no,
that.
I don't think he was he?
I never knew that, if he was. If that's some sort of common knowledge, I missed it.
I don't think
know
he was
Bill
upset
was upset
about it.
He praised him for accomplishing it and getting his job done here first while also doing some things down there. That was one of those where he said he sort of talked about how they knew about it up front, they planned for it, and he thought everybody handled it very well.
And in terms of Pioli, it is something that I kind of thought of when I read the statement, and I've been told in no uncertain terms that I'm reading too much into it. So I think the guys at Sirius may be reading too much into it as well. If we're to take the people at face value,
that's right.
Let the statement speak for itself. Scott Pioli has no plans on leaving.
And we all didn't read enough into it when Nick Saban said he was not going to be the Alabama head coach.
Evidently. Anyway, Rahman is next up with a little fact or fiction.
Fact.
Philip Rivers has more touchdowns than interceptions.
Fact. Is it fiction?
I'll say, in this game coming up?
I would assume he's talking about in this game because I think we all know he threw 22 touchdowns and only 9
interceptions. That's why I went with fact there.
I'm trying to buy time because I can't think of an answer.
Fact.
I'll say fiction.
Maroney and Dillon combined for more than 100 yards rushing.
Fact.
Fact.
Fiction. Patriots defense holds LT under 100 yards rushing.
Fiction.
Fiction.
Fiction. Just another question. How does our secondary match up against the Chargers receivers?
Fine.
Like I said, I'm a little worried about Vincent Jackson's size if he gets on Hobbs.
I would say that, but I just don't think their receivers are all that good. I think right now Asante Samuel is playing maybe above his skill level. He's got a confidence and
he's
air about him. Oh, yeah, he's in the zone a little bit.
But I feel that the Patriots secondary isn't all that good. So
right. No, I know. I think that's a sort of a wash.
When you have a guy like Gates there, if he can take up a lot of defenders, maybe some of those other receivers can get in there and do some things. I don't know. I mean, like you said, the receivers are nothing to brag about.
Right.
The
best player in that group right now would be Asante Samuel of the receivers on their team and the DBs on this team. Now, if you include receivers, as in people who catch
and
the ball, then Gates and Tomlinson.
Possibly Samuel on Gates, as Bill alluded to today, saying, we'll see. I got to be honest with you. If you look at what Denver does with Bailey, and then what the Cowboys did with Newman on Crumpler, he shut him down that game. Bailey's had a lot of success against Gates. Might not be a bad idea.
The only trouble I would have is I think the one thing we've seen Samuel struggle with this year at all is fighting for the ball at times, and that's a strength for Gates. So now you're sort of going outside the box and using a corner matched up against a tight end, and it might not necessarily play into the corner's abilities in that he has to fight for the ball with the tight end.
Well, what if they don't do it like all the time like
just
the other teams did, but maybe near the goal line or something, try to get better coverage with the red zone defense or
could
something
be.
Like that?
Could be. I just
I don't think they'll do it all the time. I don't think it's going to be like Denver where Bailey just takes Gates, and I don't think they'll do that.
That highlight we saw of Bailey and Darren Williams,
nothing you can do about that.
Sandwiching Gates and then Gates just coming down with the ball.
That's a great play.
But to me, that's what the Chargers are all about. They have players who can make plays, and you just say, you know what?
Yeah.
He was just better than us right there.
I got to tell you, if I'm the Chargers and they want to put Samuel on him, that's fine with me.
They'll take Vincent Jackson on Ray Mickens.
I'll take Samuel on Gates if I'm the Chargers. That doesn't scare me at all.
What's Mickens listed at?
5'8"?
Nothing.
Maybe.
That's about right, because he's not taller than I am.
He is tiny. Tiny.
He's a pretty small guy. Tom's best friend checking in now, P.J. Naccarelli, Tom's Paisan friend.
P.J. and NJ?
Sometimes I'm off him. Depends
sometimes
what he says
he's off
me.
So he's kind of like Fred with the Broncos. PJ says, I would first like to give kudos to Fred for finally podcasting John Rook's show. We should have told you that too, Andy. Despite falling over 4,500 votes short.
I thought it was over 4,900 votes short.
I saw no reason to trounce on a man's grave.
So listen, the 12 of you out there who follow John Rook, I'm sure you're very happy.
And thanks for watching our TV show too.
PJ says, I know he got only around 35 votes. Now, let's don't sell him short. It was 48 on the tote board, and 30 of them were from me and two other emailers. But I think this is a good addition. I have never heard his show until the podcast on Tuesday, and it is very good. Not as good as PFW in Progress, but very good.
Right, we better say that.
We can live with that, then.
As long as you're not emailing another hour and a half and saying, hey, John, your show is way better than PFW in Progress.
Well, PJ actually wrote, Q ball washing.
Well done. Fred's here. Go ahead, Fred.
I have
you
to
can
say,
eat.
I have to say, stop the violence to our emailers out there. We are all Pats fans except for Mr. Negativity, Andy Hart.
Shut up.
And
it's my show. I'm Gilligan.
We need to
Fred,
stop the
here?
Emailer on emailer crime. Did you just come down to steal that pizza?
Wow. Did you really? Terrible.
There goes that 35 pounds.
Woo!
I noticed you didn't have a lot of emails. I want to kind of come down and help you out.
I don't know what you're noticing. We got about 15 of them lined up here.
Right. And we don't need your help.
Anyway.
Who was he on the show? The useless guy?
Mr. Howell.
You want to read that again? Did you see that email?
The guy who thinks he's in charge.
A bumbling idiot.
Fred, Gary, why don't you go get email. That and read that part from Fred. I'll continue with PJ's email here. Shannon and Sawyer need to focus their hatred toward Fred like everyone else does. just playing, Fred. You know what? We know we love you. All right, here's the Gilligan's Island one. Fred, this was from Phil in Nova Scotia. He casted the...
Fred just dropped a Mr. Falcon.
PFW in Progress, Gilligan's Island cast. Fred is Mr. Howell. Mistakenly believes that he is the man in charge. But he has never met an argument he could not torture to death with his spitting, sputtering, rumbling, bumbling, incoherent, senile ramblings. Mr. Wilson, who he found washed up on the beach, is the only one that truly understands him. He may also be slowly poisoning all of the other castaways.
Who is this?
That's Phil in Nova Scotia.
No tour for you, buddy.
No tour for you, buddy. What was that?
Fred, are you mad that all the emailers have been having a little fun at your expense lately? Are you not okay with the role you play on this show?
Do we need to? Do we need to?
These emailers only knew the truth.
What's that?
I think
you know the truth.
I think they're well aware of the truth.
Well, we know the truth. You really are the boss. I mean, we do know that in the end. We do have to suck up for a raise in a couple weeks.
Hey, Diamondbacks get new uniforms, huh?
You guys get raises around here?
At least that cost of living.
You do have to suck up, but it's not necessarily going to mean a raise.
So why are you down here, Fred? What brings you down?
I just got out of a meeting. I was
the one that started yesterday?
I was peckish.
peckish?
The quality of the emails obviously are terrible today.
Fred, if you just got out of a meeting.
I can kill two birds with one stone. I can come down, get a slice of pizza, and help you guys out.
He's a walking contradiction. He just got out of a meeting, but he's keeping track of our emails.
Right.
It doesn't take long to only see 10 emails.
He's really mad.
I'm not mad.
Do you know
how many emails we have? Seriously?
Yeah, I do.
Obviously, you're not paying attention.
I think Fred needs an assistant, too. He's got too much on his plate.
Yeah, did you know that there's consideration that Fred might get a junior assistant?
Oh, wow.
That's good stuff. Depending on the pay, it could be me.
Yeah.
Does this mean that we could have someone to get us lunch all the time,
Fred? You got a big mouth, Andy.
He brought it up. I just ran with it.
But you're right, Fred. Andy does have a big mouth.
I thought he needed an assistant. You were the one that said that it's... I said that is my opinion.
Oh, well.
He's got a lot on his plate.
What's going on, guys? Fill me in. I've been up to my eyeballs all day. Tell me what's going on.
Patriots are going to win.
I did see most of Belichick's press conference, and I think for once he's saying what is the case.
Fred, we all had the same exact reaction from a simple quote buried in an answer. They do what they do.
They do what they do, and they do it well.
You know what that means? They do what they do, and they lose. Every team that does what it does... Bill does more.
Well, the question is, no, and that's a good, and that is true, except there does come a tipping point where the talent allows
right.
you
no
to
question.
Do what
yeah.
you do,
well, that's
and
Andy
you just can't
that.
Do anything about it.
Right, no question, but
yeah.
I still...
Right. If you can't block Sean Merriman, you can do what you do and you can
right.
win.
Right,
you can he can tell you, I'm blitzing off the edge every
right.
time if you can't
so
block him.
The
hey,
question,
Matt.
The question then
I'm
is,
coming.
You know, play Bill Belichick, play the master schemer for a second. What is it, knowing that they do what they do, is there something that you can do to either take away their best thing or overcome their talents? What is it that you can do? Gary's now against me.
No, that's the
that
game
was
again.
Like a sad, disappointed, fatherly look he just gave Gary.
You know what I would have done if I was Merriman? I would have sent Light and Cashier the Lights Out shirts and hats with, like, tissues.
Some Tide. You're going to have
to
clean
about
the back
that,
of your
Fred,
jersey.
Right, how he sent Champ Bailey and Jason Taylor. Did you hear about that?
No.
Well, you know how they both came out against him? So he sent him a Lights Out hat and T-shirt with popcorn so they could watch him play in the playoffs.
Well, that's pretty good. That's
I like it.
But seriously, let's give some our listeners some analysis here. What is it that the Patriots could possibly do here to, you know, once
quick
once
throws.
The, what's that?
Do
quick
it, throws.
I was going to say, do what they always do. Spread it out and get rid of the ball quickly. Eliminate
don't
the pass
it,
rush.
Yeah.
They don't have a strong secondary. They play a lot of zone.
Well, I also think they can run the ball. I think they can
well,
run the
ball.
I don't
think they're going to run the ball all that effectively.
I do. I think they are going to run the ball with some success, and I think if they can do that,
draw plays.
They can win this game.
Well, they might be able to draw plays when you.
I think they're going to line up
when,
and run
when
the ball.
When you're being deceptive, I don't think they're going to line up and run the ball nearly as well as Andy thinks they're going to do it.
I think they will have success on the ground.
Geez, for somebody who thinks the Patriots are going to lose by two touchdowns,
I think they're going to be
have a hell of a lot of success on.
I'm actually looking forward to and hoping for a good game where both teams. Do some of the things that they're capable of. Patriots run the ball. We get Maroney. We get Dillon. But in the end, I think that, as Bill said, their roster is like the All-Pro team. In the end, if the Chargers play and up to their ability, I think it's tough to beat them.
Don't think I didn't catch when Bill was naming all the good players and he refused to name Merriman. He said Godfrey and Edwards. He mentioned the two inside linebackers. Very rarely in that interview did he mention
and
Merriman.
And he also mentioned
he
they got a good
him?
Front seven.
Right.
He mentioned the secondary.
We also mentioned that they can send...
They don't have a very good secondary.
The two outside guys, the two inside guys, one outside guy, one inside guy, and then it was followed up with, are you saying they mix up their pass rush? People just don't listen when he speaks in the press conferences.
You know what it is? They decide beforehand what questions
this is what I'm asking.
And they don't listen to the, sometimes you get the answer the first time and you
right.
don't have to ask the
then
follow-up.
Then you end up in a, like me. I wasn't paying attention to the answer with Teddy Bruschi, and that was my fault. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when people don't listen.
Okay, so.
But defensively, Fred, I think they're in trouble with Merriman and Phillips. I think they've struggled with pass rushers, and I think they're going to struggle in this game. And unless they unload it quickly and have some success
well,
there.
Well, they can do that. They have
hold
the
on,
tools
Fred,
to
I'm,
go spread it out and do quick drop. Get rid of it.
If the guys are open. Now, what if the Chargers are up in their face and they're covering them? Then Tom Brady gets killed by Sean Merriman.
So, yeah, we know the Ravens would do that.
Fred,
that's the difference.
I want to do an Andy argument now. Well, what do they have to worry about the pass rush? But they're just going to run it right down their throat. You know, what are they going to worry about?
Are you arguing
out
with
the
me?
Edge? Yeah. You think they're going to run it right down their throats?
So I didn't say down their throats. I said they'll have some.
I said I'm making an indie argument.
A true indie argument. You have to. It's like Fred. You got to pay attention to the word choice.
Right. You said they're going to run the ball.
I said they're going to have some success running
the
ball.
This would qualify by far and away as the best run defense that they have had success running the ball against this year.
And they will. And you know who everyone's going to be talking to? Dan Copen after the game. I think he's going to have a good game with Jamal Williams.
Well. Like I said,
and
now,
again, you think that the Chargers are going to win easy?
Tom might be right in terms of like draws and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
Boy, I can't wait to elbow you when they have an 8-yard run on first down
MVP
when they're lining up.
Kevin Falk, watch him.
Three runs for a first down. I don't think that's going to happen very often.
That's why I think Falk could play a role.
Oh, three?
Kind of those draw
sure.
plays where he gets to like where he runs wide, where Merriman and Phillips are coming up the field. You give it to Falk. He
well,
gets by the line.
I know you're going to laugh at me and call me Mr. Howell and or whatever, but this is a game where I could see both Dylan and Maroney in the backfield at the same time. Why not? You know, both as receivers, by the way.
Have they done that ever?
I'd be stunned to see that.
Well, I think it would work. You know why?
But have they done it ever?
I don't know.
But it would work. It would work, Andy. You know why? Because the defenders would look at Dylan at fullback and drop down laughing so hard because they know he can't block.
You line him out like a T formation. Split out.
He's running the option over here.
Now who are you taking off the field?
Well, one of the tight ends, maybe.
Okay, so now we're not blocking as well for a unit
but
that
no,
needs to prove
it's a,
it can block.
This is a spread. This is a spread without with people in the backfield. As soon as the snap goes, these guys release. Brady's in a shotgun.
And by that time, Sean Merriman is killing him.
That's right, and you flip it right over his head. Both these guys release.
I'm not sure I like this little scheme for drawing up. Did you draw this up during the meeting you were just in?
Hold on, Fred. No, it's not... Why Dylan?
Here's where Paul sucks up and looking for a
because
ring.
Why wouldn't it be Falk?
That's what I
well,
would say.
Why Dylan? Falk. What I'm saying is two.
Well, that's a big difference,
yeah.
though.
That is
okay.
a big difference.
But Dylan can catch a pass too. But
no, he can't
go it anywhere. So,
well, he can catch
what,
a pass.
What are you talking about?
He's not an overly effective receiver. 50-yard screen pass a couple of weeks ago, notwithstanding, that's not what he excels
that's
at.
That's pretty effective.
Well,
That's pretty effective,
Fred.
Paul. 52 yards.
Do you really think that he goes 52 yards against the Chargers front seven as opposed to the Titans front seven?
Well, I'm not talking
seven?
About every play.
No, but I'm just saying, why wouldn't you want to do that? See, you say that you wouldn't be surprised to see Dylan and Maroney in the backfield at the same time. I think we'd all be stunned to see that because it would be Falk and Maroney or Falk and Dylan, not Maroney and – because to me, Maroney and Dylan, they're two guys that are run-first guys. They're not really good pass receivers.
Well,
so that eliminates that threat.
I don't think it eliminates that threat.
Well,
I think they both can and have caught passes.
I say that we don't see the two of them in the same backfield. What else you got there, Paul?
I don't think we will either.
Fred,
all right.
Say that they can't – I'm not saying they can't catch
bet.
Passes.
I'll bet you,
argument.
I'll bet you – are you willing to bet $5 that at some point both of them – are
you
in, on
sure.
the field?
Sure.
Can I bet too?
Sure. On the field.
Sure. At the same time, on the same play.
Yeah, on the same play.
Yes, I'll bet you one of our bets that we do.
Okay.
Can I get in on it?
$5.
Can I too?
No.
Why?
Because I don't like you.
But I want $5.
Because you have a big mouth.
I want $5. Can I bet 20?
Well, you can give me 4-1. I'll bet you $5.
So I pay you 20, you pay me 5?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like those odds. No.
What are the odds that we're going to have another hour of this mess? Gary, I got to finish my pizza.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs. Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 of qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's Home Equity Line of Credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America Home Equity Line of Credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Let's go, let's jump right in. Come on.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol, it doesn't move me at all. So tell me why.
Back for the second hour, PFW in progress, minus Andy Hart, because he's too important. He has to take the rest of the show off. What's the line, Tom?
What?
What do you say every week when I leave at this time?
Oh, we've lost the fat man and we're running lean.
It's usually the three of us every week, and I leave to do the big show on Wednesdays, and Tom always says, we've lost the fat man, and I'm running the lead.
No big show today?
Tomorrow.
You're making my point.
Okay.
No, we had the heart.
See, they
Andy
should
Hart
have you
tomorrow.
On Patriots Monday.
Can you imagine how warm and fuzzy that would make the organization? That would be fun.
I don't mean the big show.
What?
In the morning.
Oh, why would I be on in the morning? Like, I have nothing better to do with my day off. I'm usually in a coma until 2 in the afternoon anyway, especially this week.
How
time do you think we get home this week? 10 a.m.?
What do you mean? Like, what
like
time
done.
Do we leave here?
Like, yeah, out of here by 9?
Probably around there, yeah.
Let's stay.
We'll be leaving as everyone else is coming to work.
Yeah.
How was the locker room today, guys?
Sucked.
There was a lot of media, not a lot of players.
No one's saying anything? Nothing going on?
No, nothing.
But you,
I'm sure if I read Mike Breese's blog, I'll
you
have
talk
a lot
to,
of
You
stuff.
Talked to Ray Mickens.
Yeah, I talked to Ray Mickens, and he said nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's
he
a
said,
lot of
so Damian
stuff.
Tomlinson's
you're
good.
Absolutely right, Tom, Fred. There'll be a lot of stuff.
But
won't
a lot
be
of
a
nothing.
Lot of information.
It'll be Ray Mickens telling you that LaDainian Tomlinson's good, that Gates is hard because he uses his body to fend off defenders. I mean, we already know all that stuff.
So there were I'd say about maybe 10 guys that had sizable contingents around them.
Although Samuel had a lot of people around him, and
I wasn't in on that. I didn't realize he was way down by Brewski's locker. I thought it was Brewski, but evidently it was Samuel on his way out. They stopped him, and then a whole horde.
But he did talk
surrounded
to
him. I would have
Jackie
liked to have
McMullen.
Heard to what he said there. There might be some information there, Fred.
He did talk to Jackie McMullen first, and she was writing stuff down. So I don't know if it was kind of like a rebuttal to what she wrote. And
well, you know what
like
that whole thing was, Tom, is you know, we talked about the story yesterday about him kind of talking about his contract situation, how he felt like the Patriots maybe were going at it a little bit negatively and whatnot. Well, I guess the follow-up to that was he complained that that interview was conducted over a month ago.
And Andy Hart says that's false.
That is false. But he went out and complained that it was done over a month ago and that they held it until the playoffs to purposely create a distraction, to which the Patriots Media Relations Department has confirmed that that's false. Mm-hmm. The interview was conducted less than 2 weeks ago, and it was not held in any way, shape, or form. There was a lot of quotes in that story. So she may have talked a week and a half ago to Asante Samuel, but she also talked to his high school coach,
yeah.
His a cousin back home in Florida,
Benny Sapp,
who plays in Kansas City, who is a teammate of his also. So there was a lot of work went into that story. I don't think that was held in any way, shape, or form to create a distraction. First of all, the Globe doesn't do that.
Yeah, it's the Globe.
Oh, right.
They don't. They do whatever the team wants it to do.
Oh, please.
Now, if it was the Herald, I think you'd have a more of an argument, because they're definitely looking to make more of a splash. Don't you wouldn't agree with that?
No, I think both papers think about timing very carefully.
Well, absolutely. That story was done to run on the playoff opener.
Of course.
But that's not because they wanted to create a distraction.
No, I'm not saying, but no.
She didn't know what Samuel was going to say.
Right.
With each story, you know, other than notes and the normal, any kind of feature story like that,
yes,
when
absolutely.
It is released is carefully
line,
thought
and you hold it
but
for
bottom
a Sunday.
Line is, he said it. He didn't have to say the things he said if he didn't feel
he
like
didn't.
It. So don't blame the Globe. Don't blame Jackie McCall.
I'm not.
No, I'm talking about Patriot fans.
Yeah.
Samuel said those things, so if he didn't, you should have just shut up and not said a word.
Now, let's get back into the emails here. And I was in the middle of PJ's when we left. He's really starting to get confident here as the week moves on. He knows that beating the Chargers is a tall order, and with a gun to my head or Tom's teeth to my face, I would like to take the Bolts. I would have to take the Bolts, but there seems to be a consensus that the Pats can slow down LT and make Phillip with one L Rivers make some mistakes. I don't want you to think I am looking past the Chargers because I feel we need to have a little luck on our side to win this game. But if we do win, who do you guys want to play?
The Colts.
It seems like everyone else wants the Colts, but I was at the Colts game earlier this year and we got beat pretty good no matter what the score said. I also think our run defense is so much better than our pass defense that I feel we can stop Jamal Lewis and take our chances with McNair.
They don't run it. That's a misconception.
Instead of Peyton and his crew. Well, it may never come to that, but I have to root for someone at 4:30 on Saturday, and I need some help with this one. Who should it be?
I think the Ravens will beat the Patriots by a good 2 touchdowns. I think it's a terrible matchup for them. I think defensively they'll be all over Brady. There's this conception that this is the old Ravens, that they run Jamal Lewis 40 times a game. He's got 1,100 yards. He ran for 3.6 yards per carry. He's not the focal point of the offense anymore. That's why they brought McNair in. It's those receivers. It's Heap. They throw the ball. They're not the Colts, don't get me wrong, but they throw a lot of short to intermediate
passes.
They're
very efficient on offense.
Very efficient. And, yeah. The defense is tough. I just think right now, you're talking about a Colts team from a long time ago that beat the Patriots. We're talking right now. First of all, it's Manning and Brady in the AFC Championship game. If that's what it is, Fred, I don't know where we're staying in Miami, but make sure I got a fridge because we're there. I can tell you that
right
now.
He'll definitely need a fridge for that one. That's a whole week, Fred.
The Colts have no chance of beating the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. None.
I agree with that part. However, I think the Colts are going to beat the Ravens, and I have no fear of the Ravens or the Colts in terms of the Patriots. This is the game that I have fear of, San Diego. What do you think, Fred?
I think that if they win this, I don't think it's clear sailing, but I'm very excited about their chances next week, whether it's the Colts or the Ravens.
Well, you better hope they can run the ball, because that spreading out stuff, that ain't going to work in Baltimore. You throw 2-yard passes
against
the Ravens.
But all you need is 10 points to beat the Ravens.
I don't think so.
I do.
Well, you've been anti-McNair all year.
And I got to stay with it. I can't be a fraud. You can't. I don't just change my opinions from one day to the next, like Sean Salisbury. I got to tell you something. Don't sleep on the Ravens either, because if you do, they'll be hanging around in late January.
Is that what he said?
Sean, he says it about
I actually
so Tom has the point. Exactly. He has about 12 teams that are in the Super Bowl.
But I actually think the one team who can take the no-respect card is the Ravens, because everyone's talking about Manning. Everyone's talking about the Chargers, the Patriots.
I am really looking.
The Ravens are kind of sitting on
the
back burner.
They're under the
radar. You're right about that. I am really looking forward to watching that game because I just think it's such a contrast of styles.
Did you hear Pete Prisco this morning?
I heard a little of him, yeah.
A caller from San Diego called right after and said he was on early in the week and picked the Chargers.
So he picked the Patriots to win this? That's nice.
Patriots here, Chargers in San Diego.
That's what they do. That's what those national guys do. They tell
what
you
they,
what you
that's
want.
Terrible.
What are they, a tout service? Who gives one half of the country Alabama,
that's
the other half LSU, and says
they
won?
They need to be called out about that.
That's terrible.
They all do it.
What What value do they have?
You know, my other serious, my other favorite one in all seriousness, what Tom just said, you know, I've been down to McNair. Obviously, I've been proven wrong about McNair, right? The guys that say, well, I heard Prisco say this, he picked Indianapolis to go to the Super Bowl before the season started. Well, that's fine. No one's going to kill you because that's what you picked. Right. But do you honestly still think that now? And how could you?
Right.
Based on what's happened to their defense during the course
of
16
games. That's like me saying, I tell you, Tampa Bay is really going to make a deep run in these playoffs. I picked them at the beginning of the year. At some point, you can jump off.
I told you I had a dream that the Colts got to the Super Bowl and lost.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that?
Yeah,
if they get there, they'll lose because Manning's a loser.
I don't know. If they get there, they're going to win.
They'll find a way.
They're going to win. They're going to beat anybody in the NFC.
I'll tell you. It'll be a huge spread.
Well, who cares about the spread? I'm not talking about covering.
Speaking of spread, Patriots.
I'm just saying.
Sunday night, right after the Patriots game, they opened up at 6.5.
Yes.
Went down to 4.5. Now it's back up to 5.
I have a little. I got to talk to you off air about that.
Really?
I got something. Yeah.
Okay.
I got something.
So obviously,
on that.
a lot of money.
Let me just put it this way: the public was the one that voted bet the Patriots down. It wasn't the gamblers. Don't bet right away. They wait. They sit back.
A lot of money on the Patriots, Freddie.
What happened was that the Tom Brady Yahoo public saw the Patriots and bet it down.
Sure.
Now the gamblers got it down to 4, and now it's going back up for another reason. They're pounding the Chargers.
Okay.
So they saw that line move like that, and they got value at 4. See, gambling's all about value. People think gamblers always sit there and they're breaking down matchups and all that.
Right.
They don't do that. They look for value, and they saw the Chargers at 4, 3 is for home field advantage.
Right.
So now they're a one-point favorite.
Right.
There's the value.
All right, Phil is next up in Newington, Connecticut. Great
is
show.
That what you wanted to talk to me off the air about?
Yeah, I guess.
I was going to say, I'm glad we waited till be off the air. Not to look back, but I just saw this on the Globe website and wanted your comments. Jaguars coach Jack Del Rio was not fined for comments made on the team website about spearing, which is illegal. 2 days after the Jaguars lost to the Patriots, Del Rio said Brady should have been speared in the first half when he didn't slide on a running play. Greg Aiello said Del Rio was spoken to by Ray Anderson, the NFL's senior vice president of operations, but no fine was levied. Is this guy as big of a jerk as he sounds? Enjoy your flight, Tom. Take a portable DVD player and watch Talladega Nights. It'll make the flight more enjoyable.
Well, you know, Del Rio's an ex-player. He's an ex-defensive guy. He was a linebacker.
He should have been fined for that.
He's emotional.
He should have been fined for that. That was not right. That was not appropriate comment.
Yeah, it's cheating. It's against the rules.
He's advocating a cheap shot that's a dangerous cheap shot. That's what he's doing. It's no different than what John Calipari did in that situation where he told his player to go out and do something.
But he didn't tell anybody to do it.
But he's saying that they should have. So what do you think how do you think his players read it the next game?
I think it was tongue-in-cheek, don't you?
No.
Okay.
No. And believe you know me, Fred, I often take the Patriots side and say that we overreact. But, you know, this side, the NFL, I think, was wrong to not fine Ingram in the first place. For the spear, because I think it was a clear cut definition of a spear. But then you can't allow his head coach to say he should have been speared.
Mm.
That you can't do that.
Okay.
What do you think, Tom? You don't care enough about it either way.
No, I already said I thought that he should have been because he's backing an illegal play that's against the rules. You're not supposed to spear, and he's saying he should have been speared. Well, that spearing is against the rules. That's like saying he should take his knee out. Or that's like me saying they
no
should
difference.
Do the old Jim McMahon and pick him up and toss him down on the ground and break his shoulder.
Mike is in Sharon, Mass. With everyone talking about LT as well they should, considering the fact that he's the NFL MVP, which, by the way, the Patriots have a history of knocking MVPs out of the playoffs, I really want to talk about San Diego's offensive line. San Diego's line is probably the best in the league, not to mention the fact that they have a Pro Bowl fullback to block as well. I think in order to even have a chance in this game, we must control that offensive line. I'm a fan who holds a grudge, and currently I'm looking at last year's PFW with a picture of Brady wiping his eyes and a title of In Our House, 21-game winning streak ended by last year's Chargers. It's time for us to end their 10-game home winning streak. Their 10-game winning streak, period. What was up with not playing Tom Sawyer as Brady stepped on the field to warm up? Did someone forget, or was it on purpose?
Personal request from the quarterback.
Tom Sawyer? What's that?
By Rush.
Bad song.
Never heard of it before. That's his favorite song?
You've heard it a million times.
What, Brady didn't want it or did want it?
Didn't want it, Gary, this week, and he usually does want it.
Oh,
that's an awful song.
Yeah, it's a terrible song.
I don't like Rush.
I used a funnel to that song.
Doesn't surprise me.
The hell does that mean?
It means when it was played, I used a funnel beer.
Oh, jeez.
Do you know what funneling is, Fred?
We've played that song for him coming out. He said he liked it, and then this week he asked for something different.
What's it, what did he ask for?
Jay-Z.
Oh, that new one?
Much better.
Oh, that's an awful song, too.
No, no, no.
Trying to get with the hip-hop crowd?
What is the song he had? I like Jay-Z. You don't like Jay-Z?
Public service announcement. Hang on.
I'm just saying, what's he trying to get more hip?
I mean, I wouldn't know all the names of all the songs, but I know them when I hear them.
I don't like that new Jay-Z song for the with the Budweiser. Makes no sense.
With the Budweiser. Fred sounds...
What?
During our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho. H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the...
That's not bad.
He's
trying to get with,
at least it has a rhythm.
He's trying to get with the younger crowd.
Okay. Fred sounds like the old grandfather's, like, you know, Budweiser song makes no sense.
That rock and roll, that's not going to last.
It's not going to last.
Brian is in Colorado, and he says if the Pats make it through the playoffs and Asante Samuel continues to improve, which he likely will have to do in order for them to advance, would he then be considered a top defensive back that the Patriots would sign to a lucrative contract?
Not according to him. He's telling everyone that they're already breaking him down.
What do you think, Fred? What happens to Asante Samuel? We've given our opinions on this a million times.
I don't know. I was personally very discouraged to read that article in the Globe. If one thing we've learned from Deion Branch is these guys mean it. These players mean it when they say that they really want to go or to get the X amount of money. They're not just, blowing smoke. And with today's market, they can get it. So I was discouraged that he's already saying those things. I don't know. I don't know the money that's being thrown around. If what he's asking for is unreasonable, then, I guess it comes down to the definition of what everyone thinks is unreasonable, but he just won't be back. Do you franchise a guy like that? Probably not, because I know the Patriots don't like franchising impact players like that. I mean, they did it with Vinatieri, but he's just a kicker, They don't like disgruntled players that have to play every, all the snaps. So I doubt that they would use the franchise tag on him, and which means he goes.
It's going to be definitely another one of those interesting off-season events that's going to be worth monitoring.
But if he goes, they need to sign somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, I don't want Eric Warfield and then go on the message boards and have people tell me how good Eric Warfield is.
No, you're
talking about that garbage.
They got a hit.
Talking about somebody good.
Here's the key. Okay, we thought that Asante Samuel's worth this. He wants that plus X. So we're not going to pay him that. Somebody else will. But they still have to spend what they were going to spend on Asante Samuel on talent that's equal to the him. And that's the tough thing, is finding that player that's as good as Asante was. Can they do it? Yes. They haven't been able to do it at that position in the last few years. That's for sure. So maybe things change.
All right, Joseph next up. He says the Jets win was a great game, entertaining win. Although the finish not as dramatic as Seattle-Dallas, he thought it was clearly the most entertaining game of Wild Card Weekend. Great matchups this weekend as well. While I agree with Paul that the bye is the biggest advantage in all of sports, I don't know if that will be the case this year. I would not be at all surprised to see three of the home teams lose this week. The NFC games are both coin tosses in my mind. You never know what is going to happen in that garbage division. The Patriots have a realistic shot at beating San Diego, although I do agree with San Diego being a 5-point favorite. I also wouldn't be shocked to see Indy beat Baltimore, but this seems to be the biggest long shot of the four. Regarding the bye, how much of last week do you think Marty spent preparing for the Pats, and how much time would he have spent thinking about the Chiefs? Would he have needed to come up with two very different game plans, or can the Chargers play their game against any team with only minor adjustments?
I think Marty spent the whole week preparing for the Patriots.
I think that, and coupled with the fact that the Chiefs are a division team for San Diego, so they probably didn't require a whole lot of thought. They have that game plan pretty much set.
Yeah, so they basically had 2 weeks to prepare, for the Patriots.
They may have spent more time Patriots and Jets.
Yeah, a little with the, but I think, you know, you probably figure you're sitting there, you're thinking the Patriots are probably going to win this game.
Yeah.
Right. Spend more time on them.
Right.
They're a more dangerous team anyway.
Random football question. Why do defensive backs and corners always seem to be 6 inches shorter than the guy they are covering? Receivers often seem to be able to reach over a defender to make a catch. I realize they have to be able to tackle, but why couldn't a tall guy make a tackle? It seems to me that a 6'4 guy with great speed would make an excellent DB.
Well,
I'm sure there is reason why they are not, but I don't know what that
there
is.
There's one. There's Anthony Henry for the Cowboys, and he sucks.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I don't want to take anything away from our college football expert, Tom Casale. But one of the requirements to be a good cornerback, they call it swivel hips.
Yeah,
and if you're really tall, it's tough to make those quick change of direction because you don't know where the offensive guy is going.
That's a good point, Fred.
And you got to, you know, and if you're, you know, if you're tall, it's tough to do that. So tall guys aren't as successful in coverage. You know, as
they don't turn and run as well. If you watch the NFL Network when they show like the drills and they do a drill like that, and Mike Mayock will actually point that out when a taller guy's doing it, and then he'll compare it to a quicker, smaller guy, and he'll say, "You see how quickly he changes directions with the hips." He'll talk about that. So you're
right. So yeah, I mean, the taller receiver always has the advantage on those jump balls, but so much of the cornerback position, if you can be in good position. Even a guy that's 6'4 and you're 5'11, you've got a chance if you get good position on him. So, you know, you'd rather have that ability to stay with the guy rather than the height.
Dave is in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. I'm not sure. Where is Rocky Hill? Did you ever hear of Rocky Hill?
I have. Yeah, sure.
Never heard of Rocky Hill.
It's off of 95.
How do you guys feel about Tully Bantigan? How do you guys feel about Telly Bantakane? I originally thought he was a career special teamer, but I feel he has come on as of late. I think he's really stepped up in his development, and I would be sad to see him go if the Pats choose not to re-sign him. What do you think it will take to sign him, and do you think the Patriots need to?
Well, you should ask Andy Hart. I came up with a story idea, and then now he's writing it. The Telly Bantakane story, he's played well, I think. In his role, I don't think he's by any means going to ever be a superstar. But I think he's one of those guys, kind of like a Jarvis Green maybe for him in the future, who comes in, plays his role, and plays it well.
You know, we talked about what the Patriots could possibly do, what the strategy would be. Do you think that they would do a thing where they assign a guy to Tomlinson, and could that guy be Bantakane? You know, sort of like McGinnis handled Marshall Faulk?
I just don't think it's going to work.
Oh no. You mean no? Because he's not a coverage guy.
Okay.
I don't think that he's a coverage
probably
guy.
Probably be Vrabel, don't you think?
Yeah, or something? I don't like the matchup.
But he's the coverage.
I don't like the matchup with anybody, to be honest with you, Fred. But I understand what you're saying in terms of what McGinnis did to Faulk and trying to bang him and keep him in. And I agree with Tom. I think that would be more likely Vrabel because he would be, I think, a better candidate to hit him. But if Vrabel's going to play on the inside, it makes it harder for him to do that.
And
you know,
I just don't think they run the same kind of offense. And I don't think that decided the Super Bowl. I think not handing the ball off to Marshall Faulk was the big problem there.
See, that's the big catch 22. You know, the chicken or the egg, Tom, is did March do more to stop Faulk than anything the Patriots did?
Right.
Yes, and I think he did.
You know,
I think that hitting him
people outside of New England think
overrated.
That he did. I got made fun of for suggesting that at the time.
Well, it was
who
a tie ball.
I think we all know who the other guy on the show was at that time.
we talk about.
God forbid I should suggest that Bill Belichick didn't go out there and
stop Marshall
Faulk himself.
We talk about what a bad coach Mike Martz is. It was tie game.
Thank you very much.
Game was tied with a minute something to go. So
minute 21.
And, you know, the Patriots got a defensive touchdown. Things happened for them. But I just think that by all reports, including the book there about Belichick, the Ram players were begging to run the football.
Well, but,
they were saying, get the ball in Marshall Faulk's
hands. But here's the thing. Here's the genius of Belichick.
He knew he wouldn't change it.
He knew the coach he was going up against.
That's
part
true.
Of his genius is knowing his enemy.
You're right.
It's true.
I can't disagree with
he
you.
He knows when guys won't change. He knows.
I can't disagree with you. Let's see. Michael is next up. The Chargers have some obvious top-end talent at key positions, but I wonder about the ability, character, and discipline of the middle of the roster on down. There was a report last week that for the seventh time this season, a Chargers player was arrested. I think this points to a lack of discipline and character on that team, similar to the Bengals. If the Patriots can withstand the early onslaught from the pumped-up and juiced Chargers, I think this game could play out similarly to the Bengals game. I'm looking forward to seeing the mounting frustration and tantrums on the Chargers sidelines.
I agree. The whole damn team should be thrown in jail before the game.
Well, first of all,
well, that'll probably happen. That usually happens when the Patriots play anybody.
I could care less about the middle of their roster because it's the playoffs and it's the starters. You know what I mean? This isn't like the beginning of the season where you're saying, "Well, they're a little, they don't got a lot of depth there at linebacker." This is it. There's only two games to go here.
But so. I think though that you know special teams and that kind of thing. We were talking about on the show yesterday when the Patriots beat Pittsburgh in that AFC Championship game back in 2001. You know, it was special teams plays that won it. Troy Brown returning that ball, lateraling it back. You know, it was those kinds of plays that really turned that. Yeah, they didn't dominate Pittsburgh that day, even though it kind of seemed that way. It was special teams and those kind of plays. And I think that's how the Patriots win this game as well.
Even as an opponent, I can't help but appreciate Tomlinson. He seems like a genuinely humble and likable guy that I could root for. But why does the TV media insist on pushing this Merriman chump down our throats?
Because people like me love him.
He's a lightning rod. I mean, this is what TV and radio is show business. When you got a guy like T.O. and Sean Merriman, that's what draws eyes. That's what gets people's attention.
Yeah, and but you know what? Merriman's never called.
Troy Brown's the greatest guy in the NFL, but
yeah, no one wants to.
No one wants to.
But I said, Fred. See, I think Merriman's so nuts. I think he picked the Jets at halftime, knowing the Patriots were going to win, and he was just saying, "Go screw yourself."
Maybe.
Like that's how confident he is. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what I think he did. Because listen, you know, if he's watching film and stuff. You know he didn't think the Jets were going to win that game. You know he didn't.
Well, maybe he is that stupid. And you know.
No, I think he's not stupid. I think he likes that. I think that's how he kind of motivates himself. I just think he's a whack job.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with Tom.
He's like Joey Porter.
I think he's a crazy man on steroids, and that's a scary, scary
thing. We'll see if he turns out to be like Joey Porter and he's that bad of a guy. But, yeah, he's out there, Fred. I think you're right. Russell chiming in. Gary, did you read that email from Russell? I guess he was having some technical issues. Maybe you want to get back to him and see if you can help him out. But he says, listen, yesterday, another fine show, reading various articles on teams, cap space, and draft picks. I see this offseason as the most important in a few years for the Patriots because they are at the crossroads and a good number of teams have a lot of cap money. How many draft picks after the two in the first round do they have as of today, and approximately how much under the cap will they be? Though I never go to San Diego outside of the La Jolla area, I do know Qualcomm is not in a very good neighborhood. The weather will be much cooler than the 80s it's been the last few days, probably low to mid-60s. Love the show. Russell, from the middle ground between L.A. and San Diego, which is the oasis known as?
D.O.C.
Let's see.
Well,
draft picks,
yeah,
I believe they have one in every round. Well, we'll check on that and get.
Like 12.
Well, I don't want to give
out. Did
they
lose one for Gabriel?
Yeah, they lost a fifth rounder for Gabriel, but I don't know if the conditional picks, if they get one for anybody that they traded. As far as I know, they don't get it. I know they don't get one for Cobbs because he was cut, but I think they might get one for Gorin, and I don't think they got one for Ross Tucker from Cleveland because he was cut.
Right.
So I think that they get one for Gorin, but I don't know what it is. So before I give you a number that's inaccurate, we'll see if we can get that and maybe talk about it later this week on the show.
Well, do you get one for McGinnis because you lost him in free agency?
They'll probably get compensatory picks, but he wants to know as of now. So you don't get the compensatory picks until
It's a huge offseason. They have to upgrade their defense in terms of youth, and it's not just one area. It's a huge offseason for them.
BK in New Jersey, Tom, suggests that you go see a psychiatrist to help you with the long flights. Because he had the same problem and he got a prescription for Xanax and.
Yeah, but I can't take that stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
It did wonders for him. That's BK in New Jersey.
Because if I go into a sleep that's not a regular sleep and my blood sugar drops suddenly, Andy Hart's going to be poking me to wake up when we land, and I'm never waking up.
Matt is always Matt and Quincy always throw stuff out at us that we said before. That I don't seem to remember, and I'll see if you guys. He said a couple of months ago he threw something out there that he thought Belichick didn't like Pete Carroll, and that he thought Pete Carroll was a clown, and we dismissed it.
Andy said it.
That we dismissed it.
I don't know.
Because I think that we all agree with that.
I would never dismiss that.
Don't you think that Belichick kind of dismisses Pete Carroll?
I don't even know if he...
I think that was kind of apparent last year when Charlie Weiss played Pete Carroll that first game, Notre Dame USC, and he almost beat him, and it was almost like he had no respect for him.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, send us your resume. Maybe we can get you on
the
show.
He says, to me, it's been obvious for years, but I mean, I don't ever remember saying it.
I don't remember him talking about Pete Carroll.
No, I was thinking today in the press conference, he always seems to mention Matt Cassel. If you ever mention a USC quarterback,
right.
He mentions Matt Cassel almost to say, like, he should have been the starter there from the start. And I said, he probably hates Pete Carroll because he's the exact opposite and probably thinks he's a joke coach that just knows how to recruit and has a lot of talent. Don't you think that's a possibility, Fred?
It could be. You
know what's funny about that, though? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that Belichick is right and Cassel should have started. It's not like he could not have done better than Leiner.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if you say he's better, okay, he could not have won 60 out of the 63 start or whatever ridiculous amount of winning that Carroll did in those 3 years. I mean, it just can't. You can't be any better than that.
Right.
Let's see here. Justin in Alaska. I haven't heard from Justin in a while. Has a couple of thoughts here. What do you think about the tactic that the Bears and Chargers are taking by restricting the sales of playoff tickets to home zip codes only?
You know what? I can't complain.
I like it.
Because
I think it's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I would do the same thing if I had tickets available.
And if you had a hard time with that, you know, obviously around here we don't have a hard time making sure that the crowd is a hometown crowd. Other places, they have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't have a problem with it.
You know, and plus, the away, you know, team fans, I mean, they're on the internet the minute those games are announced. So it's almost like you want to give your own fans a chance, you know?
Right. He says, do you think the NFL will step in and say they can't do that, or as long as they sell the stadium out, NFL doesn't care, and has Gillette or Foxborough ever done that? Well, I don't see how they can step in. And
no.
You can't. You're allowed to sell to whoever you want to sell to. That's your right.
The only thing they could step in is if it was like a disabled, an ADA issue. If you said, oh, we're not selling to people in wheelchairs or blind people.
Right.
Or that kind of thing you couldn't do.
Coaching is his second point. I gather from some of the talk you think possibly in 08 that Pioli and Bill Belichick would maybe move south to New York and try to rebuild the Giants. I'm assuming that after the Pats win their next Super Bowl, BB will either move on or retire. Would he move before another ring? I don't know.
We don't know. It's all just speculation.
Yeah, this is the stuff that we're reading out of New York papers and things like that. As far as we know and what Fred is telling us, Belichick is under contract.
Right.
He ain't going anywhere. Right?
Right. I mean, he can retire anytime he wants, but I don't think he will.
I don't think he will either. In your opinion, knowing that the players don't listen to this show, who on your current roster would you assume is most likely to be the Patriots' version of Tank Johnson? Like, whose house would be considered a National Guard armory? My best? Mankins. I'd have to go with Matt Light there. He's a big hunter, right?
Yeah.
Any of the offensive linemen. Those guys are all outdoorsmen. But I don't think anybody would have the amount of artillery they took out of Tank Johnson's house.
No,
he was getting ready for some big throwdown. I mean, he was gearing up.
That was scary stuff.
Yeah.
Also, I keep hearing that there are 5 receivers from the University of Florida. I know of 4, Caldwell, Jackson, Kite, and Gaffney. Who is the 5th? I think that's the only 4. There's only 4.
Caldwell,
Jackson, Kite, and Gaffney.
Yeah.
4, right?
Right.
Yeah. Gary, can you play the clip from Lori? Haven't heard that one in a while.
Is a clip from Lori?
You do join Dick for a little while.
Okay.
Alex, subject San Diego.
Somebody just had a good time at home or something?
Oh, wow. Have you seen the Super Bowl logo yet? What the hell is that? Since no email is complete without a shot at Fred, I will say this. Saw the Life of Aquatic, and it flat out stinks.
It's not called the Life of Aquatic, so he didn't see it.
He actually put Life of Aquatic.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he saw it and just wrote the title wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
Life Aquatic.
I admit it is a quirky movie. I enjoyed it.
I got to see this movie.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I have to see it.
Maybe we should take it and have it as a precursor to the playoff game. Party in Andy Hart's room, by the way, Fred.
What's
on
that?
Saturday afternoon?
Party in
Andy Hart's room to watch the playoff games.
Okay.
Well,
I'll
be writing the
Beers and Wings.
I'll be writing the preview.
Yeah, I know. He has nothing to do with it. He has nothing to do with this 10 hours before the game the next day. He has to write it while, you know, has to play the martyr routine.
Yeah, but aren't we going to go? We're going to go out and get something to eat. And
on Sunday?
Sunday?
No, Saturday.
Yeah, Why are we watching it in his smelly room? Have you ever been in Andy's hotel room?
Have you?
Well, yeah.
You like to write the game fresh.
Why don't we go someplace?
You see the Ravens play. I want to be fresh.
I don't even want to get into the matchups that have already been written. The Ravens game, you fraud. F-R-O-D,
matchups
fraud.
Matchups are easy. I'm talking about the story. You want it to flow. Fresh.
I need the game to be fresh. I couldn't even tell you how much of that's already written. Anyway, Alejandro is next up from Bogota, or as Fred would say, Bogota. First of all, I like our chances this Sunday, and I think the winner of this game will win it all. I agree. I think the winner of this game is the Super Bowl champ.
Wow.
Dissecting San Diego's offense is a daunting task. I am very eager to see the Patriots' defensive game plan on Sunday, although I think we will see eight in the box trying to put the game in the hands of Phillip Rivers. Sounds easy, right?
The problem with that is eight Gates. In the box can still put the ball in Tomlinson's hands,
yeah, but,
too.
And I disagree with the eight in the box. I think they'll try to shut down the run. But you put eight in the box, and like Fred said, you get Tomlinson out in pass patterns. You get Gates down the middle of the field. That's not good. So I don't know about the eight in the box.
My question is, should this be the game plan? Do you think our linebackers would be able to, one, stop the run, not get beat by Tomlinson's speed, and two, cover the intermediate patterns of Antonio Gates? So he was right there.
They can't beat anybody's speed. I mean, if Tomlinson gets in that open field and Gates gets
in that open field,
good night.
And Warren and Seymour are great, but they're not speed rushers. So you put eight in the box, and when they go to pass, you can't expect them to get to Rivers that quickly where he won't be able to get rid of the ball. They don't get upfield that fast. They're more strength guys.
And then you're just talking one-on-one matchups. And I'll tell you, I think I'm in the camp that they're going to make Rivers beat him, and I don't know if he can, camp. But all this, like, he can't throw the ball forward stuff,
yeah,
is
right.
A little crazy.
Right.
I mean, you give him one-on-one coverage with Gates, that's a touchdown in virtually any time he gets that. So let's not make it sound like this guy can't play at all.
Ed is in Lexington, Mass. He's next up. Loves the show, loves the website, says it's the best out there, Fred. Big Patriots fan. I have not given up on this team.
How many more are there out there?
I have not given up on the team. Well, you said your show and website are the best out there.
Oh, website. Thank you.
I thought that was a compliment to you, so I threw it out there, Mr. Howell. I am a Pats fan.
Is it a Howell?
Love it.
Howell.
I thought it was Mr. Howell.
No, it's Howell.
Well,
you want to make $5 the hog?
H-O-W-E-L-L. Oh, okay. Thurston B. Howell.
Oh, that's right, right.
I am a Pats fan. I have not given up on the given up on the team this year. Oh,
thanks.
You really are a Pats fan.
I might want to reconsider that compliment.
There. We're about to play in the divisional playoffs, and you haven't thrown in the towel yet. Well, good for you, Ed. As one commentator said in the Jets game, there is a moment of truth. The Pats were a better team. The moment of truth this year is that the Chargers and Ravens are the two best teams in the AFC. It used to be us and the Colts or the Steelers. Now, I say this as a football fan, wishing for the best football regardless of who wins. If it all plays out, Chargers will be hosting the Ravens in one heck of a game. Chargers would have tested their powerful offense on our great defense, and Ravens would test their super defense on the Colts' top offense. If they pass the test, I expect a spectacular game.
So let me get this straight. This guy he doesn't care about the Patriots. He really just wants the best football. What kind of fan is this guy?
You know what? I had a friend of my father's growing up he used to go to a lot of games. We used to go to a lot of college games, Fred. And he was a big Harvard fan. He went to Harvard.
That's where Mr. Howell went, huh?
He was a huge Harvard fan, and we used to go to games with him probably like three or four times a year. And he used to say it all the time on the way over. Dumb Ivy League games, he would say, I really don't care who wins. I just want to see a good game. And I remember being like 8, 9, 10 years old, and I wanted to throttle the guy. Because
yeah,
even at that age, I said, get off the fence,
yeah,
man.
Really, really. Root for something.
Root for somebody.
Take a side.
Anyway. I digress. Back to the Pats for a moment.
I want to see bleeding Chargers on the ground. That's what I want to see.
The tragic loss of Denver's cornerback might have some consequences on the Patriots. Denver's draft just ahead of ours, our Seattle pick, and might go for a cornerback. Wow. So I would not be surprised if they move up a couple slots to get one. How deep is the draft? I don't even want to discuss that, to be honest with you. It disturbs me so much that we're, you know, less than, what, a week and a half off of this tragedy? We're talking about how it affects the Patriots draft. I'm a little disturbed by that. How do you feel, Fred?
Yeah, I that's topic for another time.
Right. You know, a month or so from now, we can say, all right, well, you know, maybe this is really bad for the Patriots. But right now,
It's pretty bad for the Williams family and for Denver. Ron is in Raymond, New Hampshire. He'd like to know what the sheriff thinks about the spreads this weekend.
They're pretty much right on the money, I think. I think the Bears deserve to be that high, especially when you see what the Seahawks did last week. They look terrible. That by far the worst winning team of the weekend. I think the Saints game is right on the money. Four or five in the Patriots game seems about right, and then four for the Ravens is right. So,
you don't think the Chargers should have a couple more points?
No, because look what happened. It started at six, and everybody bet the. You're trying to get 50-50.
No, I know.
So
you know what it is, Fred?
It's
Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, too many people see them getting points, and they're going
to
load.
They're too good to give them more than a touchdown.
Right. So I think they're pretty much four
or five is about right.
I know a lot of people are surprised by that Bears line, but you got to remember two things. One, the Bears already whooped the crap out of them in Chicago earlier in the year. And two, most people, since that was an 8 o'clock game, actually saw Seattle play. And you can't play much worse than that and win. So,
yeah, but I don't know. If you're the Bears, you don't want to be going into the playoffs with the quarterback situation that they have.
I don't even think they're going to need a quarterback this week.
Really?
I think they're going to kill him.
Defense will probably take care of
it. And I'm worried about the Bears' defense because of all the losses they've suffered. But I just think that Seattle, that was the worst.
And I don't think
I shouldn't say the worst winning performance in the playoffs I've ever seen because I saw Washington beat Tampa Bay last year. And that was the worst performance, but that was not a playoff caliber.
And I don't think Alexander's right. He doesn't look right to me. No. And that passing offense is supposed to be great with Branch and all these guys, and it's not going anywhere. So
they made the comment that he made one cut in that whole game, and it was on that long run off the goal line, and he limped off the field. Alexander.
It's kind of, the West Coast offense for me is kind of getting into the cover two defense. I think it's one of those things that's unless like two or three teams run it very well, and there's probably five or six more too many teams running it.
Wow,
that's the thing.
That's true. Gabe is next up, and he says, let's see. Okay, hypothetical. So the Patriots bend but not break defense will stop San Diego up until the 20, mostly, not the whole game. The suspect secondary will give up a few long ones in this one. Then how do you guys see the Pats shutting down that offense from getting into the end zone when they get to the 20? If the Pats stack the line to stop Tomlinson, then Gates is open on the corner. If they send a corner blitz, then Tomlinson is set for the quick flank or screen. So what do you think Belichick will engineer in this scenario? What would you feel would work best if there is a possible one?
I don't know what the heck they do in the red zone, but nobody's ever open. I can tell you that because I look at guys going out like once they get inside the 20.
The only thing
like they're playing with 15
and
guys.
And I think what Gabe is worried about is he looks at San Diego and sees how successful they are in the red zone. And they would. I mean, even if you didn't watch them, it's pretty logical to say they have a great tight end and a great running back, and that combination is awfully tough to stop near the goal line. You look at a lot of the Patriots' short touchdowns. Who do they look for?
Mm-hmm.
Watson,
right.
Graham,
yeah.
Vrabel.
Right.
They go to tight ends a lot. And obviously the Patriots have had a lot of success running the ball in the red zone this year, too, with Dillon. Has, 10, 12 touchdowns?
13, I think it is.
So
now.
That's the formula for success down there. How do you stop that? I don't really know.
And the thing about the Chargers is what Andy says, the play against Denver where Williams and Bailey had perfect coverage, but Gates just went up and got the football. There's nothing you can do about that. If he's gonna go up and grab it, you can have the best coverage you want. The guy's a freak of nature.
Do you think that one or more pass interference calls are going to be huge in this game?
Somehow, some way, the officiating will play a role somewhere along the line. You can bet that. I'll tell you what, Fred. I'll say in three of the four games, somewhere along the way, the officiating will cost someone a game.
All right. Dave is in England, and he has Tom Casale as his subject line.
Here we go.
I was listening to some of last year's draft prospect reviews, and not only did Tom say how good David Thomas would be, he was also high on Jones, Drew, Norwood, and he said, I have a deep sleeper called Marcus Colston. That was a joke, though. The Colston one was a joke.
I can't take any credit for Marcus Colston.
That was a joke about me. I remember that.
Oh, right.
Because he's from Hofstra.
Right. I go, I have a deep sleeper, yeah. Marcus. I said from Hofstra. I said, no,
and you go, Paul?
I said, Paul, well, why don't you tell us about him?
No one else had heard of him. So my question is, why the hell is Tom not running the Pat scouting department? Screw Scott.
Now there's a good question.
Screw Scott. Send him to New York whether he wants to go or not. It was an unbelievably good scouting job by Tom all around. I do agree with that. We could have had a 1,000-yard receiver with a seventh-round pick and a contributing middle linebacker in Hoyt instead of Jeremy Mincy. Belichick is known for making the most of his resources, so how has he overlooked Tom? Looking forward to hearing Tom reports again this year. We will need to know value, as we'll have a 32nd pick in each round.
Yeah, put that on the wall, Gary. That goes on
the
wall.
Did Bilo order those college tapes yet?
I don't know. I'll have to ask him. But that is funny that we mentioned Colston because...
Well, you definitely... very high on Jarius Norwood. I never even heard of Jarius Norwood.
I love Norwood.
You know, before all the emailers start calling in saying that I don't like to give Tom his credit, I never heard of Jarius Norwood, and I do remember you saying you were very high on him.
Hey, this just in.
Sure.
Ratings from last night.
Oh, boy.
PFW show. The 11 o'clock had a 0.91.
Wow.
Wow.
With a two share for that one show, and the 11:30 had a 0.4 with a one share, so we got a three share and over a 1.3.
Yeah, everyone fell asleep watching Menino's address.
Who's better than us?
1.3 with
almost
a three
had
share.
A one.
Yeah.
Wow, that's encouraging.
That's our best so far.
Good stuff. Good stuff right there. Let's see. Hey, guys. Who is this from? I don't know yet. Andy is going to play the contrarian and pick the Chargers. Hell will freeze over before Fred picks somebody other than the Patriots.
Who's this?
Well, he's right.
Oh, Sandeep from India.
Hey, Sandeep, I have picked other teams besides the Patriots.
Just not in our lifetimes. Anyway.
Not just worth playing the Patriots.
He says,
playoffs?
He says, so it's up to you two, Tom and Paul.
to pick against the Patriots.
To make some sense of this week's matchups. Who would you give the edge to in the following categories, the Pats or the Chargers? I have included my choices. Quarterback, obviously, yeah. Brady. Running back. Tomlinson, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah, but the thing is that the running backs don't run against each other.
Well, the quarterbacks don't play against each other either, Fred, but Brady's still got the nod.
That's what I'm saying. So you got to look at the Patriots' offense versus the Chargers' defense.
And I'll still say Tomlinson.
How do they match up?
Tomlinson. Next.
Offensive line. Slight edge to the Chargers. If I am not mistaken, they have allowed the fewest sacks this season.
Yeah,
they have a pretty good line.
No
I know
sacks and an 1,800-yard rusher is pretty good.
Tight end and receivers, slight edge to Pats.
No.
I give a slight edge to the Chargers because I think the receivers are about even.
About
and, I,
watch,
and I give
and
Gates
go
an
with
edge
Gates.
On tight end.
Well, who's their Keenan McCardle's their number one guy?
No,
he's the number three guy.
It's Vincent Jackson and Sammy Parker.
Eric Parker. So
I think that's
Gates a wash.
Is a big drop off, and I mean,
yes,
their top receiver has like 30 catches.
Yes,
right?
but remember, we don't go by numbers. This is New England.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
That's what I'm saying. He's their number two receiver.
Yeah, so well, that's my point. You're talking. I got to go with Paul. Slight edge because of Gates.
Right. I think that the wide receivers. I think the Patriots are maybe a little bit better than the Chargers because they have maybe two or three more guys that are capable of catching balls. But I think Gates is so far and away better than anybody on the field and as a receiver that they get a slight edge. But a very slight edge.
That's
a wash. I call that a wash. Defensive line, slight edge to the Patriots. I would agree. I think the Patriots are the best defensive line in football, although this might be the second best.
Right.
Them in Baltimore might fight it out. Linebacker, slight edge to the Chargers. They are younger, more athletic. And the veteran savvy of the Pats doesn't quite make up the difference. I think this is an overwhelming.
Well, I was going to say the only problem I have with that is the word slight. It's not even close.
I mean, I think you got two veterans like Bruschi and Vrabel and Donnie Edwards and Randall Godfrey, and you have two studs on the outside.
So, yeah, that one's
with
not
Phillips
close.
Phillips and Merriman. DBs, edge to the Pats, even though Harrison will be on the sidelines. I agree with that. I think the edge is clearly on the Patriots side in the secondary. Special teams, even.
Yeah, about even. I mean, I gave a slight edge to the Chargers, I think, in the matchup previews.
I was telling Tom, Bill again today, for like the eighth week in a row, we're facing the best kickoff return unit in the league. Did you hear Bill today?
Well, you know, it is what it is.
One more question. Everybody is worried about stopping Tomlinson, but the Pats have had a lot of trouble covering Gates, them and everybody else. With the Pats struggling against the Jets slot guys, don't you think this could be a major issue? Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. It definitely could be. Yeah.
And I know Bill you know, said, well, watch out for Turner. He's got a yard better yards per carry. But he is pretty good. He does come in for, you know, time to
time.
He's
a good player.
So when Tomlinson comes out, while you do lose something, obviously, because he's the best, you still got a pretty good back on the field. So
how often is Lorenzo Neal on the field?
All the time,
unless they.
I mean, I would imagine like on third and long, yeah. he comes off the field.
But he's at, like the every down fullback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went out like I said, third and long. I'm going to guess that they're going to put an extra receiver on the field.
Well, they spread it out. They take him out, but normally
they only have one back in the backfield. But I think more often than not, I think they run Tomlinson behind Neal.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
Yep.
Liam has a little true and false for you guys. The Patriots will be placing the franchise tag on Asante Samuel.
False.
The Patriots will not lose any coordinators in this offseason.
True.
The Jets will not finish better than 8-8 in 2007.
That's a tough one because Mangini's
not better than true.
Mangini's comments about the quarterback. I'm wondering if they're thinking about going in a new direction. Yeah. But I'll say false. I think they'll be better.
Scott Pioli will leave the team before Bill Belichick does.
True.
The Pats will spend big money on a free agent that is not currently on the team.
True.
You better hope it's true.
All depends on what we consider big money.
At least Roosevelt Colvin money. Would that be big money?
But when you say big money on a free agent, I'm sorry. I know he had a good year. I'm not talking about Mike Fury. I'm talking about a really, really good player that you can depend on. I don't know if Mike Fury is a product of Mike Martz's offense or if he can play, because he couldn't play for 5 years, and all of a sudden he put up 90 catches. That might just be Martz and the fact that they had to throw the ball 600 times this year because they were behind. So, to me, that I don't want to give money to Mike Fury and say, look, we got a great player. I want a good player to come here.
Shannon's back. This ought to be good. The subject line is, come on, this stuff just writes itself. I think I verbally punched Sawyer in the face yesterday and unfortunately broke his thick, black-rimmed glasses. Because clearly his email that he sent today had the feel of a mop-haired kid with white tape holding his glasses together. So I feel there is no need to pile on a fellow Pats fan, like mentioning that, yes, he is an idiot. or bringing up that even fly-infested kids in Africa named Cluck Boop Cluck Cluck Knock have CBS. Or welcome him to 2004 finally with his wonderful invention called HD. Come this Sunday, dear Sawyer, we will be brothers in arms watching the Pats drop a jihad on the Chargers. But get a firm wrestling grip on Dixie Ann because I'll be out there sometime next fall for another Hawkeyes football game and may just consider heading north to Waterloo to tell Dixie Ann she sure is purdy.
What's this all about?
Remember to lift with your legs while shoveling pig crap, Shannon.
We got an email on email or crime here. We got two guys going at it.
Really?
Yeah, Shannon and Sawyer.
Well, we should probably, you know, the Ultimate Fighting Championships? Yeah. We should probably have an event where emailers can,
be good.
Fight each other.
That'd or us. Good.
All right, James is in Roanoke Rapids, has some interesting to see items here. I thought it would be interesting to see how many number one and number two seeds have made it to the Super Bowl over the last 10 years, and here are the results. Only three number one seeds have made it to the Super Bowl, and the 2003 Patriots were one of those. Only three number two seeds have made it to the Super Bowl, and the 2004 Patriots were one of those, as with the 2001. Let's see. Three number four seeds, and because it was before the 2002 seasons, all were wild card teams. Have made it to the Super Bowl. One number six seed made it to the Super Bowl, and that was the 2005 Steelers. No number three seed has made it to the big game over that period. That is seven times the number one seed has not made it to the Super Bowl in 10 years, four times the number one seed lost in the divisional round, and three times they lost in the AFC Championship game. Okay, so 60% of the time, the one or two goes based on that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good odds. No?
Yeah.
What do you think, Chris? 60%? I think that's pretty good odds.
It's good. But it does show that, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion. There's a chance. There's always a shot.
Oh, he told me to ignore the previous email here. So
updated.
Updated. Only three ones. Only three twos. Oh, and two of those. Okay, so that was the only change.
Recall. Email recall.
Anyway, so it remains 60%. Brian is in Colorado. You have commented that Chad Jackson does not seem to have game speed. Wouldn't his lack of game speed have shown up on his college game tapes? The Patriots supposedly spent a lot of time with this kid before the draft. How did the scouting department miss this?
His average yards per catch as a senior was 9.8.
Plus, speed in college,
it's different.
It wouldn't show up as much because he's running against slower guys.
And listen, you see Ted Ginn run, he's fast. You could put him in the Olympics and he'd be fast. But it's just, Paul's right. Speed, everybody in the NFL is fast. Even if, like, you run a 4.8, you're still fast in the NFL, or you wouldn't be here. Because if you don't have speed, you don't stay on the field that long.
Right.
So Paul's right. When you're playing Louisiana Tech, well, yeah, anybody from Florida is going to look fast against Louisiana Tech. And
what's the only thing? I mean, all of August, you might as well not even ask a player a question, or a young player a question, because all you're going to hear is the speed of the game.
Right.
You know? What's the biggest change? Well, the speed of the game. Everything is so much faster.
And I don't know if you know this, but sometimes scouting departments make mistakes. You might want to ask Kurt Warner about that. He was the MVP of the league and the Super Bowl.
Bagging groceries.
You know, hey, you might want to ask Artrell Hawkins about that, who was out of the league. Nobody really seemed to want him. And, you know, so sometimes scouts can make mistakes. We're not saying that, but I don't know. Fred, John Rooks here. I mean, does anyone think Chad Jackson looks as fast on the field as he does when he's running that 40-yard dash that's supposed to be 4.3 something?
No.
So...
All right, a couple more emails here before we wrap it up here, guys. Chris wanted to talk about the Belichick-Giants thing. He gives some reasons why Belichick would probably not even want to go to the Giants in the first place. He says, why would he really want to go there? Brady instead of Manning, Pioli over whomever fills the void, not having to deal with Plaxico Burress or Eli Manning and all the other in-house fighting that has occurred there, having the ability to stick it to Mangini twice, maybe three times a year. Why would he want to make that move? I know he enjoyed the Giants organization while he was there, but that was then. This is now. Your thoughts?
Easy answer for that. New challenge. These guys get bored after a while.
I know, but that situation, though, I mean, you got the Tishes and the Maras.
Well, Fred, I don't care. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about coaches like Belichick who have huge egos, like every other good coach does. Sometimes they want to take on a new challenge.
Right.
You don't think Bill Cowher liked it in Pittsburgh? He liked it in Pittsburgh. You know, I know he didn't get the money, but if he loved it that much, I'm sure they could have worked something out. He wants to take a year off. He probably wants a new challenge now, and that's what Jerome Bettis said. Kudos to him, by the way, who broke
he
that story a
it.
Long time ago.
Yeah. What, that Bill was going to go?
Yeah. And stuck with it, even
but,
after.
Kudos to him.
But
kudos.
I would say if Belichick left, I don't think it would be because, like, the Giants or any other team had a better quarterback, because we know that can't possibly happen, or better talent. Maybe he feels like, I want to show that it's me, it's not Brady, and I can win with Eli Manning, I can win with this guy, I can do whatever I want. I'm not saying he's leaving, I'm just saying coaches like that like new challenges.
Well, I think Don here will put an end to our portion of the show as John is settled in. Hi, John.
Hi, Paul.
How are you?
Good.
You were out there today. What's going on out there?
Seems to be status quo to me. All I know is that Rodney and Heath, we're not practicing, or at least weren't present at the
Heath Evans? Was he talking somewhere?
Probably doing an interview.
He wasn't there. So that's all I can tell you definitively.
This must be from a San Diego dude because he says he loves getting enemy input here at work. He says, no way the Pats put eight men in the box, they will get burned. I can see some 4-4 look schemes off the 3-4 that the Chargers have yet to see, and the Pats looking to win one-on-one matchups inside. The Pats' D linemen are very good and will hold their own. I see linebacker, cornerback, safety is where the Chargers will try to exploit the Pats. In the red zone, Chargers will use gates and get good matchups. Run-first trend will change this game. Pats' second-level run defense can be had, and I think the Chargers will win/draw enough line battles down low and break many second-level tackle attempts that do make it there. Small advantage, but enough to put us up, to put up 7-3 on trips inside the red zone. Dig the show. Take care, Don.
Don's pretty close. I mean,
yeah,
some of
that
stuff
go
is some of their stuff.
San Diego.
You know, I think he's oversimplifying, but I think the one thing that really struck me by his email is he likes the fact that you know, he thinks that the Chargers on offense would favorably match up, I think, with the Patriots once they get into the linebackers and secondary in tackling, because we have a very poor tackling secondary.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that. I think tackling's been an issue, period. The linebackers, I think, have struggled.
They have struggled.
Vrabel and Bruschi at times.
I totally agree. They just don't wrap up very well, and I think that that will be a problem if that's what San Diego decides to do, and that is, of course, you know, hit the short and the intermediate, you know, range passes. Now, I can see the Patriots coming up and bringing, if they go with three down linemen, I could see them bringing up, maybe playing an eight-man in the box with five backers or bringing up that nickel back.
See, I just don't
see
that. I agree with the emailer. They get killed.
Well, it just depends. They may decide they need that. If Antonio Gates is the one that they really believe is the one that's going to, you know, do the damage. I don't know that they've decided that because they just got the game plan.
You know what else
day.
Happens if you keep putting eight-man in the box against the Chargers? Someone's going to be covering LaDainian Tomlinson one-on-one down that seam.
That's also true. So, it's probably choose your poison at this stage, right? Yeah.
Whatever you do, you better do it well.
John, I just wanted you to know you were included. Phil in Nova Scotia has casted the PFW in progress for Gilligan's Island.
I think I heard you talking that in the opening hour
there
today.
You go.
Did you not? Yes.
You were represented by the headhunters that show up every few shows who are somehow always defeated by Gilligan. Often seen paddling away from the island quickly with grass skirt on fire.
So what does this say about me?
Well, I don't know. You
that I wear a grass skirt?
You hear every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
All right,
fair enough.
So, speaking of hitting and running.
I wouldn't doubt the grass skirt thing.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Tom.
That's twice you did one of those on our show. Anyway, hitting and running, that's what PFW in Progress does best. Stay tuned for John Rook and Patriots Playbook.